this morning, so you want to tune in for that. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Got no worries on my plate, left my troubles up to fate, sitting pretty 'cause ain't life.
Ah! Right in my eye.
In a world where accidents are bound to happen.
Man, that hurt.
Remember, wear eye protection.
This is a message about safety from the American Optometric Association.
Oh, man, that hurts.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me understand. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
The preceding Wake Up Call show is a pre-recorded show. Liz Brown is on vacation today, and Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her beginning at 7 o'clock. Until then, enjoy the rest of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We are broadcasting live as always. www.wgnu.net. That's live on the World Wide Web from Xenia to Zimbabwe. You can catch us here on the Wake Up Call. Earlier this week, we had a discussion about the fact that lethal injections as a means of killing people by our government do not do what people think that they do, that it's a painless death and a death that is consistent with our Constitution, that mandates that the government cannot engage in cruel and unusual punishment. And since this report has come out, it will be interesting to see how the world that we live in responds to that. And we need to talk about what the death penalty says about our country. We need to talk about how our country responds to the fact that if we only recently, a few handful of months ago, decided as a nation, or the Supreme Court decided, that this nation would no longer execute juveniles. That's only been in our recent world history. We need to talk about the death penalty, what it says about us, what it is, and does it work? To join us in this conversation, we have joining us from Southern California, Mike Farrell. Mike Farrell, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks.
And I appreciate you getting up this morning to join us since you're on the West Coast and we're here in Mid-America. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. It is a little earlier here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Mike, everybody knows you as an actor and as anybody that turns on the television sees MASH, and they know that you were part of that. But what I would like to know, and I think what people would really like to know, is that how did you come to be connected with the issue of the death penalty? Is it something that you knew as a child or knew as a young person that you had this opposition to?
Well, certainly, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I was taught as a Christian that killing was wrong. Therefore, it never seemed to me to be right that the state could decide for itself that killing was only wrong for other people, and that if other people did something that was inappropriate, that the state could demonstrate its power by killing people. So there was something just sort of innately wrong about it to me. But that really didn't make me active in any particular way until I was a little older, and when I became I hate to use the term celebrity, but when I became somewhat known in the world as a result of my work, there were opportunities to sign petitions or make declarations about different things, and I agreed to sign some paper saying that I opposed the death penalty, and that led to some people contacting me, and of course these things, you know,
get a life of their own.
They build on themselves, mm-hmm. Yes.
So is there a particular case that caught your attention or anything as you were just moving through life, as all of us do? Is there a case that caught your eye?
Well, originally what happened was that a man by the name of Joe Engel, a minister from the Church of Christ in Nashville, contacted me when I was doing MASH and explained to me that he ran an organization called the Southern Coalition on Jails and Prisons, and that the death penalty by then had been declared unconstitutional in 72, been reinstated in 76, which was just shortly before he and I talked, and that, as he put it, the machine was beginning to roll again, and that there was going to be a bloodbath in the country, and I could be helpful. So I went with him a while after that, down to Tennessee, visited Tennessee State Prison, death row there.
What did you see when you were down there?
Well, you know, I saw what sort of everybody, I suppose, understands that you see, but nobody really thinks too much about it. I saw a group of men, they were all men at the facility I visited first, who were largely black, some uncommunicative, many really terrifically appreciative of the fact that I had come to see them. Some just like people you'd run into on the street, but they were essentially no different from you or I. They were just people, and they were not the sort of fang-toothed, drooling monsters that we had all been taught to believe were separated out from society so they could be killed because they were dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these were men in cells and behind bars, and obviously most of them, if not all of them, had done terrible things, but they were still human beings, and it was an eerie feeling to me to be there and talk to them and hear from them and have a sense of their humanness. I left there a little wiser, I think, and very troubled by the idea that these men were caged up, penned in, and were waiting on the whim of the state to make a determination as to when they would be ushered into the room we went to next, which was the execution chamber, and to be strapped into this ugly chair and electrocuted. I just thought, God, this just makes no sense to me at all. So I worked with Joe for a few years, traveling back and forth with him around the country, and then eventually got caught up with one of the people who had worked with Joe in his organization, and then went off to Virginia and started her own organization, a woman by the name of Marie Deans, who started the Virginia Coalition on Jails and Prisons. And with Marie, I got involved in the case of a young man named Joe Giratano, who was scheduled to die, and she took me there, introduced me to Joe at their death row, and explained that it, in her view and how she had come to the view that Joe was innocent. So that was a case that I got involved in trying to stop the execution, and we succeeded after some years of struggle with the governor to stop that execution. He commuted the sentence. He did not commute the sentence in the way we wanted so that Joe would be free today, but Joe was not killed. He remains in prison, and we continue to try to find get him a new trial.
And, Mike, this was back in the 70s, right, when you started started this. Would it be fair to say that the climate in the 70s was a little different than the climate is in 2005 in terms of addressing this issue? Would that be fair?
In many ways.
Well, talk to us about how different it is today. And I also would like to get your view on, are you surprised by the incredible change from 1970-something to 2000-and-something?
Well, let me say I'm gratified by the change. I'm surprised is probably the wrong word, because I've been working with so many people over time who have been so dedicated that there is a sense in my view, in me, that the American people are fundamentally fair if they understand the situation. And the struggle has been to get people to understand the situation, understand the reality of the death system as opposed to the kind of abstract concept of an eye for an eye, or however it is people justify wanting to kill other people or allowing the death of other people. So over time, with the advent of so many courageous people who have stood up and spoken out on this issue and taken positions that have been deeply unpopular, Sister Helen Prejean, for example.
We've had her on the show. She's wonderful.
Isn't she something?
She is amazing.
Yeah, she's really quite an extraordinary woman. Tim Robinson, Susan Sarandon, who made the movie from her book, her first book.
Dead Man Walking.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the extraordinary phalanx of dedicated people in the ranks of law. Some of them wardens of prisons. I don't know if you know Don Cabana.
No, I don't.
He used to be the warden of Parchman State Prison in Mississippi, and presided over executions and determined for himself that they were not only killing innocent people, but that the whole process made no sense. So there are just these heroic pioneers who really dedicated themselves to demonstrating the wrong-headedness of the system, and working with them has been a great privilege for me. And so over time, we've just been able to open people's eyes a little bit at a time to the fact that the system is simply unfair and simply inappropriate, and more to the point, even for people who believe that the state's killing people is appropriate under certain circumstances, when they get it that it operates unfairly, that it's racist at its base, that it's based on a system that punishes people for being poor rather than being guilty, that it's based on a system that is full rife with police and prosecutorial misconduct and a kind of political impetus, really, rather than an impetus toward justice. So it's been the raising of that awareness, and probably I think the thing that has made the biggest difference in recent years has been the growing awareness of people that there are innocent people trapped on death row, and now we're learning even innocent people having been killed.
And in terms of the political climate for this, the media attention to this, Mike, is it different in the year 2005 than it was in the 70s? I mean, how was your participation when you were involved in this in the 70s viewed by the media? Because I'm clear about what is said in the media often in the year 2005.
Well, sure. Originally, of course, If you just go by the poll numbers, in the 70s, there was a huge support for the death penalty. And in the 80s, it grew, actually, through the pressure of politics. Into 85 and 90, we were at 85% of the people of the United States who said they supported the death system. Now, again, this is a function of people being asked, do you believe in the death penalty or not? And they'll say, or do you support the death penalty or not? And they'll think, well, God, I don't want anybody coming into my home and raping and killing my family, so yeah, we should kill the dirty bastards. And So at that time, the media approach to us was one of scorn. You know, how could you be in favor of this, or in favor of, or opposing the death penalty? How could you be in favor of killing, you know, essentially? How could you be in favor of killers, dirty, slobbering, fang-toothed monsters who go out and do these terrible things? And our point, or my point certainly, was I'm not in favor of obviously violent crime. What I'm in favor of is a society living up to the standards that it maintains, that it holds, and realizing that people are fundamentally people. Some do bad things, yes, but that doesn't make them any less human than you or I. But, you know, those kind of arguments fell on deaf ears for a long time until, little by little, we began to make progress in alerting people to the dangers inherent in the system, and to the fact that executing people through electricity the first time and then through the gas chamber was fundamentally cruel, and that we, on some level, were putting ourselves in the same position of the people we were condemning by stooping to their level, if you will. And, you know, it's a long process, but over time now, as you suggest, the media has become much more open to talking about this system and talking about the inefficiency of it and the inappropriateness of it.
In terms of the world that you travel in, the world that puts you in contact with other celebrities, if you will, how do your colleagues respond to this issue? Is it any different than the rest of us out here in America respond to it?
Not really. In my community, the community of, you know, people in the business, there's still a great fear that getting associated with a controversial issue will somehow have a negative impact on your career. So it has taken some time here as well as there to awaken people to the urgent need and to demonstrate that there really isn't anything to be terribly afraid of. Originally, it took some courage for people to stand up. More and more people are coming out and saying, you know, I've always thought this made no sense. And that's been an exciting thing for me to see. So now we have far more people who are willing to stand up and take a position than we did a number of years ago. And I think that's true across the board, whether it be, you know, a political issue or the war or, you know, various issues pertinent to the social conditions we find ourselves facing today.
Well, one of the things that I think is just extraordinary that's happened out in California is Kamala Harris.
Oh, isn't it crazy?
Tell the audience about this extraordinary story. It's just, it's like, I want that to happen here so bad.
Oh, I'm with you. Yeah, no, Kamala Harris is a fabulous woman, young, gorgeous, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But the fact is, she is a young, gorgeous black woman who ran for the office of district attorney in San Francisco a couple of years ago on a platform of opposing the death penalty. And she won.
And she said she would never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, ask for it.
That's right. She would never execute anybody. And shortly after she was elected, a police officer was murdered in the state, in the city. And she was roundly criticized and derided for her refusal to call for the death penalty in that case. And typically, politicians leaped on the bandwagon and called her this, that, and the other thing, and said that it was unjust and unfair that a police officer's death must be responded to by the death penalty. And she said, no. She said, I was elected on the basis of my position on the death penalty and my position on other things. Kamala is a really quite extraordinary young woman, very, very smart, wonderfully articulate, very well schooled in the law, knows what she's doing. And she said, everybody gets lost in this concept of being tough on crime. She says, I think we have to deal with crime, and we have to deal with it realistically. But she said, instead of being tough on crime, let's be smart on crime.
And I think one of the things also that comes out of when a person like a police officer gets killed, and you have this hue and cry to get the person that got the police officer, it separates us even further. It somehow suggests that the life of a police officer is a life that must be avenged above and beyond a grandmother who was murdered in Compton someplace.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's a terrible imbalance about that. But there's, on some level, people say, well, these are the arbiters, you know, these are the people that are standing on that thin line between us and the violent forces in our society.
But we're all valuable, aren't we?
Absolutely. And to ascribe that kind of authority, to choose a word, and power to the officer of the law is, I think, to buy into the notion that there's an us versus them here in this society.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly there are people who, for whatever reason, act out in a way that's unacceptable, and those people have to be dealt with. But I don't think that it serves us as a society to say that there are those of us who are so powerful, so important, and so meaningful that if they are killed, we must stoop back to this level, this sort of cave person level of meeting violence with violence. To show how important those people are. That simply is wrong-headed, I think.
We're going to take a break, folks. We're talking to Mike Farrell. Joining us from Southern California, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. We're taking a break. We'll be back after that. Stay with us.
I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had you.
The following has been a rebroadcast of The Wake Up Call. Liz Brown is on vacation, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks. At 7 o'clock, Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her. Until then, we're going to bring you more of the best of The Wake Up Call following these messages right here on AM 920 WGNU. Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, road construction, right lane is closed. As crews are in the final stages of the bridge work, there are no delays through the construction zone at this hour. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and Germania, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 between the Chrysler Plant all the way into Big Bend, everything is running smoothly. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson to McKnight, nothing to report. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Manchester, nothing to report there as well. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain to 170, everything is moving along nicely. Westbound 255 from Telegraph all the way into Lee May Ferry, expect normal traffic in your 6:30 commute. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, that is closed due to construction. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around the detour that's going on. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and Mid Rivers Mall, look for heavy volume this hour. And your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 5570 onto the PSB, nothing to report. Westbound 64 at 5570, it looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, everything's on the move. And Illinois Route 3 northbound onto the PSB, nothing to report there. Highway E near Highway D in Lincoln County, there's a report of a car that has struck a horse. And Lucas and Hunt at Halls Ferry, there's a report of an accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers. The lows should be around the upper 60s. Thursday, partly cloudy again. High in the upper 80s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, with some clouds in the sky, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 69 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of the best of The Wake Up Call. Liz Brown is on vacation. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her beginning at 7 o'clock. Until then, we have some more of the best of The Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Give us some sort of game plan. P.J. Brown, if you had to shut down the Spurs.
If I'm a coach, I'm a opposing coach, and I play against those guys, I let Tim Duncan have his 30 and 15. Behind Shaq, he's definitely the second best player in the league.
How does Brett Hull want people to think of Brett Hull?
That I'm as honest as the day is long.
What has it been like for Tom Arnold?
It takes a while for people to say, well, maybe he's not that guy. And also, right before I literally married her, I got sober, completely sober, and have been for 15 and a half years. That, to me, is the biggest change in my life.
That's Sports Overdrive, weeknights from 7 to 8 on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return. Hello, morning. This is Liz Brown. We are talking this morning to Mike Farrell, joining us from Southern California. Mike, welcome back.
Thanks.
When we were talking before the break, you were making the comment about how the climate has changed and the observation and the understanding of the death system. I want to use this moment now to go to another way that the climate has changed, and that's with the war in Iraq and 9/11. Does the atmosphere that has been created as a result of the decision by this government to invade Iraq, do you think that that's going to have an impact on the at least the forward movement of the anti-death penalty movement?
It's an interesting question as to how people are going to connect the two, and I'm not sure they will consciously.
Well, I just mean kind of like in the intolerance that we're having with at this point in our history.
I'm sorry, the intolerance?
The intolerance with the war in Iraq.
The intolerance of the war.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, at first I think we have to look at the intolerance of the dissent. You know, those of us who opposed the war, spoke out against it, were pilloried, as you well know, were attacked and viciously assaulted for our lack of patriotism, for being Saddam lovers, for being anti-American, for being French, you know, all that garbage.
Isn't that amazing?
It was amazing. And I think it's important to understand, for your audience certainly to understand, that it was an orchestrated campaign that was begun by the administration's lies and the administration's lashing out at people who called them on their baloney. When Ari Fleischer said people should watch what they say and watch what they do, one of the most fundamentally un-American statements from a White House spokesperson in years. So when the opposition to the war originally appeared, there was this extraordinary attack from the right wing and through the media and through other venues that that was attempting to shut us down and to, by definition, continue the support and the momentum for the war, which sadly succeeded, so that we've now come to the place where we've lost, you know, hundreds of Americans and the people who were in support of the Americans, the few nations that supported the Americans, and tens of thousands of Iraqis in an unnecessary and brutal and absolutely wrong-headed war. But now, as you point out, and I think it goes back to my original point about the fundamental fairness of the American people, if they understand the issues, people are beginning to get it, and the support or the opposition to the war now has grown, as you suggest, to a vast majority, or I don't know vast, but a majority of the people opposing not only the ongoing war, but opposing, but expressing their opposition to the reasons for having gotten into it in the first place, expressing their understanding that they were misled by the leadership of this country.
But yet and still, we still see components of the major media out here still not reporting the story. I looked at in the USA Today, there's a teeny tiny paragraph on A11 that says that, oh yeah, the report came out and no, there weren't any weapons of mass destruction. We're ending this search and there never were any weapons of mass destruction.
That's right.
You know, why is that a teeny tiny paragraph on page A11?
You're quite right. It's just awful that they have sort of, some of them have dropped the ball, probably unintentionally, some of them out of fear, and some of them because they're dominated by forces that, that frankly don't want to call attention to the lies and the mishandling of this thing by the administration.
And Mike, when you what made you decide to take the position against the war? How did that happen?
Well, I mean, it just seemed to me to be the most illogical thing in the world and inappropriate as well. I've been I guess one would call a peace activist for a long time, and I'm not, having served in the military, I'm not one who believes, frankly, that there are no circumstances in which one should not take up arms in defense of one's country. But I saw no assault on our country. I saw, despite what people say about 9/11, the Iraqis weren't involved in 9/11, and the idea that the Bush administration could simply divert people's fear and hostility and anger and rage and confusion as a result of the 9/11 attacks into waging a war on a country that was really not involved in it at all was a horrifying idea to me. And when I saw the buildup of this fusillade of information that was coming out of the White House saying, you know, Saddam Hussein, this evil monster, and his connection with Al Qaeda, and all
this. He killed my daddy. He wanted to kill my daddy.
Yeah, that's right. I really became alarmed and was talking to some friends, and one of whom said, was not only agreeing with me, but he was saying, you know, where's the leadership? We don't see any leadership in a developing anti-war movement. So we decided that while there was some, it really wasn't getting much media coverage, and the way we could help in this community, because the people in our community do tend to be media magnets, was to try to arrange an organization, build an organization here, draft a statement, and launch a campaign against the war, which we did with an organization we called Artists United to Win Without War. And it it sort of broke through what I saw as the media curtain, this kind of media drumbeat that was acting as a cheerleader for the White House and simply repeating everything the White House said as though it was fact without investigating whether it was true or not.
And were you surprised in the beginning at the hostility that was directed at you and others of us out here that were opposed to the war?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I was certainly surprised at the venom and at the personal nature of it and at the viciousness of it. But on the other hand, having gone through this over years with the death penalty, I saw that there are people who have a vested interest in maintaining a certain political position, and they are willing to do anything in order to undercut the credibility of anybody who stands up and poses a threat to their view.
But it was different than what you had experienced before.
It was different in terms of its focus and in terms of the extraordinary velocity and power of it. Yeah, it was quite different.
And give us an example of something that was different.
Well, I helped draft a statement. I'm an officer of the Screen Actors Guild, our union out here, and I helped draft a statement because some of the actors that had taken this position that I had asked them to were being excoriated on television and on the radio and in the newspapers for being traitors. I helped draft a statement at the Screen Actors Guild saying that we opposed the idea of anybody being attacked for having stated a political position that might or might not be popular. And there was a barrage of emails, telegrams, letters, and phone calls to the Screen Actors Guild once we released that statement. Interestingly, almost all of them saying exactly the same thing.
Orchestrated.
So when I do talk radio shows about the war and my opposition to it, people would call up and they would say exactly the same words. And you begin to get the idea that there is this, somewhere there is this basic source of information, and it is being spread across the channels of communication to people who just pick it up and regurgitate it without any understanding of its truth or falsity. They just pick it up and regurgitate it, and you are dealing with a kind of machine that is very powerful, but is also very dedicated to the opposition of your position and the support for the, in this case, the administration.
So which is more concerning, which is more troubling, if there were all of these actual individuals out there that felt this way, or that there's this machine out there?
Well, clearly, I would be much more worried if it turned out to be, you know, the actual reaction, thoughtful reaction of the people that this opposition was coming from. But in fact, it wasn't. It was this machine that was cranking up people and inspiring them to have fear, just as was the case with the death penalty. Inspiring people to be afraid so that out of their fear they will respond in opposition to your view. In this case, they were, you know, dredging up 9/11, and they were dredging up the idea of terrorist attacks, and that nobody wants terrorist attacks, and how can those people, those of us who were speaking out against the war, be on the side of the terrorists? You know, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists, that kind of dualistic thinking that Mr. Bush is so famous for.
We're going to take another break, folks. We're talking to Mike Farrell. You know him from MASH. He's also an activist against the death penalty and also an activist against the war. This is Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. And we have much, much, much more to talk about. Stay with us, folks.
We'll return to more of the best of The Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU following these messages. Liz Brown is on vacation. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her beginning at 7 o'clock today.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge, and most importantly, the discipline, to make conscious, healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
create a healthy future today.
It's new, it's awesome, and it's coming to St. Clair Square. It's the one-of-a-kind Yo Stick from Playmate Toys. Be the first to see it and experience it at Kids Expo 2005, Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. The Yo Stick is totally new, the next generation of yo-yo. Learn exciting new tricks from expert Yo Stick performers. Kids Expo is the place to check out the latest in family-oriented products and services, information and education, and activities and entertainment. Visit the SBC Treasure Cove in Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes, including the Captain's Treasure Chest. See the Yo Stick from Playmate Toys and much, much more at Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Come away with me, and I will write you a song. Come away with me, only once. Come away where they can't tempt us with their lies.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to activist, actor, and citizen Mike Farrell, joining us from Southern California. Mike, welcome back. Mike, can you talk to us about the organizations that you have formed? Because there are a number of them, that the death penalty, as well as those that are committed to bringing information about the invasion in Iraq.
Sure. The only one actually I formed or helped form was Artists United to Win Without War, but we were part of the Win Without War Coalition, which continues to exist around the country. And there are any number of organizations on with regard to the war that are continuing to act. There's a new organization, Iraq Veterans Against the War.
And I've had them on the show.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And you know then about Military Families Speak Out. And
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I was not actually part of the formation of Death Penalty Focus, the organization I now chair, but I was at one of the early meetings and have been involved with the organization since its inception in the late 80s. And I was have been an ongoing member of the board, or board of advisors, I guess, for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. And I was helping to respond to build the what became the California Committee of Human Rights Watch, which Human Rights Watch, as you probably know, is the world's largest American-based human rights organization. And I've been involved with I was actually co-chair of Human Rights Watch for 11 years, Human Rights Watch in California. So I'm a member of a lot of organizations and supporter of them, but in terms of starting them, I don't often do that, but in the case of the Iraq War, it was just something that had to be done.
And when we talk about the Iraq War, there are just so many different levels and so many different components and so many different ways to talk about the wrongness of this invasion. But can you speak to us in terms of your, if you could prioritize your concerns about this war or this invasion, what would you say is number one for you?
Well, the ongoing death and destruction is hideous, and I recognize, as do many people, that a part of it at least has to do with the insurgency there. It's not just all Americans creating the killing, but I think people need to understand that the American presence is now the inciting incident, if you will, and that without the American presence there, if the American troops were to be withdrawn, from my perspective, two things would happen. One,
people would stop being killed, and second, our people would stop killing Iraqis, innocent Iraqi civilians in most instances. That is what troubled everybody. But three, it would stop the corrosive impact of the on the people of Iraq that believe they are now not being liberated, if they ever did believe that, but are being occupied by a foreign force that is there not for their benefit, but to exploit their oil and to exploit their nation. If you simply withdrew the American forces and replaced them with an international peacekeeping force under the aegis of the United Nations, hopefully made up in large part of Middle Eastern people who were more sympathetic and more understanding of the culture in the region.
And more knowledgeable.
And certainly more knowledgeable. Then you would have a cessation, it seems to me, of a considerable part of the violence. Now, there will certainly, I'm not naive about it, there will continue to be violence there because we have loosed this terrible beast of factionalization, and you've got the inherent difficulties and differences between the Kurds and the Shia and the Sunni, but I don't think those are incapable of resolution, and it seems to me that those people are capable of resolving their problems for themselves. You're going to be no more successful, or we're going to be no more successful at trying to keep down the problems there by the use of force than we were in instilling democracy at the point of a gun. It just simply is inconsistent with reality.
And one of the components to your organization is that the idea that you oppose the doctrine of unilateral military preemption. Why is that so important?
Well, for a number of reasons. One is we become, if we continue to believe, as Mr. Bush seems to insist on writing into our construct, we continue to believe that we have the right to simply go anywhere and do anything because we have the power to do it, that one sets the stage for another powerful nation to simply do the same thing, or another less powerful nation in the case of the ongoing tension between India and Pakistan, or the ongoing tension between North and South Korea, or the ongoing tension in any number of parts of the world. It flies directly in the face of the whole concept of a civilized community of nations that is trying to find a way to work out its problems peacefully under the aegis of an international organization. I happen to be a great supporter of the UN. I think the UN has made some errors in the past.
But like every organization.
Like every organization. But I think with the goodwill and the support of the powerful nations of the world, the United Nations could be a wonderful, wonderful organization to lead us toward a peaceful world.
And also on the other side of that is, yeah, other countries could do it, but this, if we continue this practice, I think in some respects set up by George W. Bush's father when he snatched Noriega from his country and brought him here, we as a nation will begin to justify going into other countries preemptively if we don't stop it now.
I mean, we've done that on the micro level for a long time. You know, we have this policy now, they call it rendition,
yes,
where we can send people
monsters
that we don't like into some nation where they can be tortured. But for a long time we've had the reverse, and it's been sort of sniffed at, and nobody's paid much attention to it, where intelligence forces or police forces from the United States can go out into the world and snatch somebody that we think is a criminal and bring that person back and do what those people determine as justice to that person, instead of using the international offices of the International Criminal Court, for example. We have a tendency to arrogate to ourselves, because we have the power to do it, the right to do things. And what that creates is a fascist state. And that's not the America I want to be part of.
Mike Farrell, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call. We really appreciate you getting up and talking to us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Take
thank
care.
You for the opportunity.
My pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back. We will be back. Same time, same place tomorrow.
Following has been the best of The Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown is on vacation, and she will return in a couple of weeks. Until then, Irene J. Smith will be filling in beginning at 7 o'clock right here on AM 920.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas.
We have dead bodies in the water.
New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin tells ABC News just moments ago his city is facing a new danger.
At some point in time, those dead bodies are going to start to create a serious disease issue.
President Bush will open the taps of the Federal Petroleum Reserves to help alleviate the Gulf Coast oil crisis from Hurricane Katrina. Mr. Bush returns to the White House today to oversee the government's response to the disaster. The president may tour the hurricane zone later on this week. Rescue crews, meanwhile, in boats and choppers are still finding survivors clinging to trees and huddled on rooftops. Commander Timothy Close is with the Coast Guard.
We've pulled over 1,200 people off the roofs of houses and relocated them to safer areas.
Even experienced rescuers are stunned by the extent of the flooding.
The water has been a lot more than what I thought it would be. It's the lowest we've seen on the houses or the eaves of the first story. I mean, it's just tremendous amounts of water.
And it's not just residents who are stranded with nothing left. Tourists are desperately and fruitlessly trying to get home. Jay Goddard is a motel manager in New Orleans.
I have so many guests that want to leave because we have no power, no water, no food, and they don't have money.
The Gulf Coast gambling industry was dealt a heavy blow by Hurricane Katrina. In Biloxi, Mississippi, company officials say the Grand, the Hard Rock, Treasure Bay, Palace, Boomtown, and President casinos got the worst from the hurricane. In Grand Isle, Louisiana, a rather grim item where Hurricane Katrina made landfall. The coffins are floating to ground level in some cemeteries. The American Red Cross, meanwhile, says this is the largest response to a natural disaster ever in this country's history. This is ABC News.
If you're interested in investing in real estate, but you think it's out of reach, maybe you can't seem to find the money for a down payment, I've got a winning solution, your retirement account. That's right, you can tap money in your IRA to buy investment real estate. In a moment, what you need to know.
If you're thinking about taking advantage of the equity in your home, visit LendingTree.com, where you can get up to 4 customized offers that you can compare and act on instantly. Whether you want a home equity loan or are looking to refinance your mortgage, when banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Call 1-800-555-TREE. See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
Today, about 2% of IRA money is invested in real estate, double the number 2 years ago. By using what's called a self-directed IRA, you can invest in everything from land and apartments to shopping centers and even commercial buildings. You get the same ability to leverage your money through real estate, plus cut the taxes on your profits. To get started, check with a bank, brokerage firm, or your IRA administrator about creating a self-directed IRA.
President Bush's approval rating is the focus of the latest ABC News Washington Post survey.
The president's approval rating is at a career low of 45%, dragged down by discontent with the war in Iraq and skyrocketing gas prices. Matching an earlier poll, 53% of Americans say the war was not worth fighting. 57% don't like the way Mr. Bush is handling it, and 68% call the number of U.S. casualties unacceptable. On the domestic front, a whopping 73% disapprove of the president's handling of gas prices. 6 in 10 think the administration could do something to reduce them. 2/3 say pump prices are straining their budgets. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
The Venice Film Festival opens today with the Hong Kong martial arts movie Seven Swords. 56 films are competing for the top prize. The George Clooney movie Good Night and Good Luck will be the first screening. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryan-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, the trial is over for a Waterloo man accused of killing his pregnant wife. A Monroe County jury yesterday found James Wiley not guilty. He had been charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of Twyla Wiley. The 21-year-old woman was 2 weeks pregnant when she was found fatally shot in a Waterloo park 2 years ago. St. Louis County residents could soon see a little relief on their tax bills. St. Louis County Councilman Kurt Odenwald last night introduced a plan to reduce county property taxes. Odenwald says his plan would give $5 million back to St. Louis County residents. He says the money would come from the debt service fund and not from such sources as the police or health funds. Odenwald says he hopes there will be a public hearing on his proposal next week because the measure would have to be passed no later than September 20th. A film screening and panel discussion tonight will focus on the Corgi sex abuse scandal. The documentary Twist of Faith, about a firefighter who confronts the trauma of childhood sexual abuse by a priest, will premiere tonight at 8 at Webster University. While the public scandal is relatively recent, Voice of the Faithful in St. Louis chairman Michael Pollard says the film is proof that sexual abuse by clergy is nothing new.
The idea of sex abuse wasn't something that just happened in 2002. In this man's case, it was an experience that happened. His victimization was an experience that happened many years ago, and it affects him today.
The film will be followed by a panel discussion featuring Pollard, St. Louis Circuit Attorney Jennifer Joyce, local priest Steve Robeson, and David Clossy, the National Director of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. Finally this hour, the Cardinals will try for the series win when they take on the Marlins in the rubber game this evening. Jeff Suppan hopes to end a two-game slide that has dropped his record to 12-10 with an ERA of 4.02. Suppan is 1-2 in six career starts against Florida, including a loss earlier this season. Marlins left-hander Jason Vargas will be trying to continue his strong rookie campaign. Vargas is coming off two straight wins over the Cubs and Dodgers that have boosted his record to 5-1 along with a 3.16 ERA. Game time is set for 6:05 at Dolphin Stadium. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Missouri Lottery Powerball. With jackpots starting at $15 million, Missouri Lottery's Powerball is bigger and happens more often than ever before. It could be your ticket to Lucky Town. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryan-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by JCPenney. In the news, in traffic, look forward. Northbound 270 on the ramp to Gravois, a stall has been cleared. Eastbound 70 at the Planchette Bridge. Road construction, the right lanes are closed as the final stage of bridge work is underway. There are no delays through the construction area at this hour. Northbound 55 at 270 is slow in the right lane. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge and 270, slow traffic in the right lane as well. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, heavy volume in the right lane. Then it eases up until you get to New Florissant Road. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic in your 7 o'clock commute. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit is closed due to road construction. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Mid Rivers Mall, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, we've got slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Lindbergh, look for slow volume there as well. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44 is stop and go. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop and go traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge. Look for slow volume there as well. And westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, no problems report. Northbound Route 3 at the PSB, look for slow traffic on that ramp. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by JCPenney. The JCPenney half-day clear-away event this Wednesday only. That's today. Stores open later at 11 a.m. 75% off clearance store-wide. It's all inside JCPenney. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Partly cloudy skies today. High in the upper 80s this evening, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers with a low in the upper 60s. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 68. Stay tuned for Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown. It's St. Louis Schools Watch. That's up next with Peter Downs. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Baby, you are the soul who snaps my control. Such a funny thing, but every time you're near me, I never can behave. You give me a smile and then I'm wrapped up in your magic. Music's all around me, crazy music, music that keeps calling me so very close to you. Turns me your slave. Come and do any little thing that you want to. Anything, baby, just let me get next to you. Am I insane or do I really see heaven in your eyes? Brightest stars that shine up above you in the clear blue skies. How I worry about you, just can't live my life without you, baby. Come here, don't have no fear. Oh, is there a wonder why I'm really feeling in the mood for love? I'm really feeling in the mood.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Good morning. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Irene. I'm fine.
It's my understanding from talking to you and Liz that today you were supposed to do an overview of the MAP scores. I'm glad that we are not prone to depression because this probably would send us over the edge. I mean, just totally over the edge. Well, Peter, one of the note changes that I see is our Blue Ribbon School. I can't help but see what has impacted, what is going on with Laclede School.
Yeah, Laclede School, and just to refresh our listeners' memories, Laclede School was a national Blue Ribbon school.
That's
very
right.
High-performing inner-city school.
Brought the president to town.
President Bush came to celebrate it. Received a Gold Star Award from the state of Missouri. The principal who had overseen the increase in test scores there is now the chief academic officer for Wellston. But since she left, in the 2 years since she stopped being principal there, she spent a couple of years as the as an assistant superintendent in St. Louis. The scores at Laclede have gone down in both those years. Last year, Laclede had the biggest drop in communication arts scores of any school in St. Louis. Their communication arts scores dropped 21% between 2004 and 2005.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. I mean, Ms. Robinson and the community surrounding Laclede had worked for years, and when it was part of the first ward, we worked with them
And now it just seems like it's on a downward spiral when Roberti makes his change and brings in someone else. And then I know they've had tremendous problems with the principal there. So obviously it's impacting the performance of the students and the morale of the teachers, seemingly.
Yeah, there was a school board meeting over the summer where several teachers came to complain about the principal. Very unusual. Public session school board teachers complain about the principal, asking the principal be removed. And if you look at the numbers, the teachers who were at the Cleed when it was a blue ribbon school are almost all gone.
Right. I know Janice Smith, who was just a phenomenal teacher. You know, it's like they almost forced her into retirement.
Right.
It's something going wrong. I mean, if this isn't, we're witnessing the dismantling of public education. Peter, why don't we talk about the MAP scores and a number of schools in the city have performed above the Missouri elementary school average. A number of schools have done so.
Yes, they have. And now there are three different MAP tests.
That's right.
And so the communication arts is the one that has that probably gets the most attention. People people think it means reading. It actually means much more than reading. It's reading and writing. I've talked to people at the state who supervise it and said if a student can read at 12th grade level, if a 6th, 7th grade student can read at 12th grade level, but they can't express their thoughts clearly in the essays about what they read, they will not score proficient. So it's really a much higher level than just reading. But in communication arts, I think there are 23 of St. Louis elementary schools that are above the state average. The highest score in 2005 came from Peabody Elementary.
And Peabody has a lot of supportive services there.
Peabody does have a lot of supportive services. And they had, I know last year, last couple of years, they've had very small class sizes well.
So that should be an indication of this is the blueprint to improve schools. You know, a lot of supportive services, small classes.
Yes. They have, in fact, when I read the names of the schools that are above the state average, because all those schools have something to celebrate here.
Yes, they do.
That's Peabody Elementary, Columbia, Herzog, Hamilton, Bryan Hill, Kennard, Walbridge, Mark Twain, Dewey, Henry, Montessori, Lyon, Clark, Lexington, Sherman, Shaw, Merrimack, Hodgen, Gunlack, Madison, Ashland, Mallinckrodt, and Scruggs. And I guess we can tell which ones are in the first ward.
Yeah, you know, we can tell that, and we try to provide some additional supportive services to our schools, so that's good. We're happy to see that.
And so all those schools I listed are above the state average for all of Missouri in their communication arts scores. Many of them are also above in math or science.
Can you run through the ones that are above in math and science?
Yeah, we had, I think it's about 14 schools that are above in math. And to show how much things differ with the teacher, we just talked about how much the Cleed scores have dropped in communication arts. And but they still had the top scores in math.
That's good.
Okay, so the top score in math was Laclede, followed by Peabody, Herzog, Kennard, Monroe, Cole, Bryan Hill, Merrimack, Hamilton, Booter, Henry, Sherman, Melamphy, Gateway, and Earl Nance. And then the top scores in science. And, again, there are over 20 schools that had a higher science score than the state average. Those are Peabody, again, is top. So Peabody is one or two in all three subject areas.
That's good. And number one.
Then it's Hamilton, Columbia, Henry, Lyon, Herzog, Brian Hill, Dewey, Madison, Kennard, Ford, Hodgen, Melanfi, Walbridge, Lexington, Montessori, Shaw, Sherman, Cote Brilliant, Werner, Ashland, Shepherd, Scruggs, Simmons, and Farragut.
Hmm.
And so all those schools had MAP index scores above the state average.
It's interesting that Gateway, which has an emphasis on math and science,
yes,
and it was like only just in math that they were above the state average. Were they in science? Were they in among the schools that was...
No, just in math.
Hmm, that's interesting. It is interesting. What other significant things have you found in analyzing the scores from the MAP test this year?
Another thing is I rank them by the amount of change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we had some schools where there were big changes.
Oh my goodness.
For example, Frabel had the biggest change. Their MAP index went up 35%.
It increased?
It increased 35%
okay.
in 1 year. And
which had the highest decrease?
That was Laclede Elementary had the biggest decrease.
Oh, my God.
And this is looking just at communication arts,
mm-hmm.
Just because things get so unwieldy when you try and look at each of these
one,
different ones.
Each
so
of
let's
them,
focus
yeah.
in on communication arts,
yes.
which is the main focus of the district right now. There are several schools that had big changes in... I guess there are a couple things I want to say about this, is the district, the way the MAP is set up, the district doesn't get the MAP results until August.
Mm-hmm.
And the result is that on a district level, they don't really respond to the changes until the following year. Okay, so this is, bring in mind the Visual and Performing Arts schools, Shaw Visual and Performing Arts and Ames Visual and Performing Arts. both of them had large gains in the MAP test.
No,
last
year. Definitely.
Shaw had a 29% gain. Visual Ames had a almost 14% gain. Both of those brought them up to AYP. In 2004, those two schools did not make their annual yearly progress, which is mm-hmm. a level set by the state to determine whether or not it essentially gets flagged as a school that needs special attention and it needs to make progress, or it'll get eventually have to be forced to make changes by the state. 2004, they didn't make it. The principals went to work in the 2004-2005 school year, and you see they brought the scores
yes,
up significantly.
Did. Yes, they have.
Then the district comes in this summer and says, oh, in 2004, you didn't make your AYP, so we are going to cut your arts classes. We're going to cut your magnet programs because you didn't make AYP.
So if you didn't make AYP, you're going to be punished by
yes.
being cut rather than providing more support services?
Well, the idea the district had was that we cut the time students spend in their arts programs so they spend more time in their basic reading. All right. The thing is, they made this cut after there's a round of tests that show the schools have already significantly improved. So the district's response is always with out-of-date data.
Okay. And who made the recommendation that happens, or that was that a decision that was totally made by the superintendent, Craig Williams?
I don't know at the top who all was involved. I know the chief academic officer's office, Lynn Spampinato, was involved in saying...
Is that the woman who was fired in Houston?
Colorado.
In Colorado, at least they said, see ya.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's her. So she looked.
And
at
how much is she making?
It's over $200,000 a year.
So she's making over $200,000 a year to make decisions that are contrary to their own policy, actually, right? Because
yeah.
they didn't have the data.
Right.
And the
right.
data is contrary to the decision that they made.
Right. Right. You know, which again shows, you know, often that, I think it illustrates, the principals are able to respond quickly.
Exactly.
To the data.
Right.
The district is kind of this lumbering dinosaur,
mm-hmm.
you know, which when it's responding, situations have already changed.
Mm-hmm.
which to me argues that the district should not be heavily centralized, but they should be there to provide resources to the principals
exactly.
who need them
exactly.
when they have to respond to things.
Because they know. I mean, and actually the principal, under even this disjointed Board of Education, is the chief academic officer of the school.
Yes. Yes. So, I said there were, I said many schools with big changes. And the thing, I should point out now, for the state, big changes 1 year aren't that meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Because the second year, it might disappear.
Exactly.
It could just be a fluke.
Right.
You have, it could be that you have one student who came through that grade level, one or two students who were really great, and then mm-hmm. they get to next grade level.
And they don't do well.
And whoever's followed them is back at whatever level the school is usually doing.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that you had a teacher absent during 1 year, got sick or on workman's comp or something, and you have a substitute in the class that gets tested for a long time. And that affects things. And there's just randomness in the results of the test, too. So there are a lot of things that can affect it. There are certainly what we see in St. Louis is the way students are assigned to schools.
Mm.
This summer we didn't have any school closings. We did the summer before, and we did the summer before that. And that changes the populations, and they move programs around.
Right.
So there are some schools which had a fairly homogeneous population, and then, bam, they're given an English as a second language program that they never had to deal with before. And they have 20 or 30 immigrant children, children who might be refugees, children, in some cases, I know it's on these programs, children who might be in third and fourth grade in St. Louis Public Schools, but never had any schooling in their home country. They never had any schooling until they came here to St. Louis.
Okay.
So all those things can affect
scores. So that can have a big impact in one year.
One of the things I looked at, and just because it was suggested by several principals and teachers, is the effect of the number of kids that a school tests. I'm going to give an example here. Frable, which had had the largest increase.
Mm-hmm.
They also had tested a lot fewer kids.
Mm.
So in 2004, they had 65 children take the Communication Arts MAP test. 2005, they showed that's the year they showed 35% increase in their MAP scores. But that year they tested only 35 kids instead of 65.
Hmm. So is that an indication? Okay, the number of kids that are tested, is that an indication of the number of kids in the classroom?
Well, the enrollment data isn't available on DESE's website yet.
Oh.
So it could be an indication of the number of kids in the classroom. It could be they had a lot fewer kids, and they ended up with smaller class sizes,
which
a difference.
Well, which has been seen as you know, you have Peabody up there, and two out
right.
of three, number one, and they have smaller classes, they have more supportive services and things of that nature, so it's obvious that makes a difference.
Right, so that makes a difference. Another thing that makes a difference is that in some of the principals I've talked to, and they always say it's somebody else, but they say there are principals who will go through and decide, they'll pick out kids and say, all right, we aren't going to test you. You're allowed.
What's the basis for determining that a kid will not be tested?
You're allowed under state law to exclude a certain percentage, and off the top of my head, I don't know what it is, but you're allowed to exclude a certain percentage of the class from the test.
Hmm. Okay.
And in some schools, they test everybody, and in some schools, you know, the word is that in some schools, they went up to that maximum percentage, basically said, all right, these are our lowest performing kids, we're not going to test them, and the result is, this year, the MAP scores go up.
Right. So if you have a school that tests all children, and then you have a school that basically goes through and up to the percentage that they're allowed under the state, they don't test children who, you know, based on historically have not performed well.
Right.
Then, in a way, you're giving them the ability to kind of manipulate, so to speak, the test results.
Well, that's the complaint from some of the principals. Like I said, with these schools, I don't know
mm-hmm.
why There's a big drop, and there's several schools.
I mean, has the data been made available as to what the enrollment was, what the number of students who took
not
the
yet.
MAP test?
No,
that would be interesting.
The data that's available on the state's education department's website gives the number of students who took the test, and it gives their MAP score. There is later, normally after November, they'll post the enrollment. So it'll be a couple months before they publicly announce what the enrollment is. Was in each school.
All right. We're here with Peter Downs. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back with you with St. Louis School Watch. Please stay tuned.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chevron Techron Concentrate. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Chrysler Plant. Look for an accident reported. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchette Bridge is road construction. The right lane is closed and it's in the final stage of bridge work as there are no delays this hour. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270. Slow traffic in the right lane there as well. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to Mason. You've got stop and go traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant. Look for slow traffic. It's all lined up in the right lane as you approach 170's exit there. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to Lee May Ferry. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44, or eastbound 40 between at the last Missouri exit. Look for that ramp to be closed. You may want to use 11th Street as an alternate. Eastbound 70 between Bryan and 79. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley. You've got slow traffic in pockets there as well. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 55-70 split from Exchange all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is stop-and-go. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue and 55-70 split. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Look for very heavy volume there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street to Poplar. Look for slow traffic as well. Southbound 94 north of Augusta, there's a report of an accident, and the vehicle is off the roadway. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chevron Techron Concentrate. Don't forget to include Techron Concentrate as part of your car's regular maintenance routine. It cleans up deposits to bring out the best in your car. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Partly cloudy skies, stay high in the upper 80s this evening. Partly cloudy, chance of showers with a low in the upper 60s. For Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid 80s. And Friday, mostly sunny and warmer with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 70 degrees, both under sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown, who's on vacation at St. Louis Public School or St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. Take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets.
At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
All right, we're back with Peter Downs. We're just going through the results on the MAP test. Mainly, we've been concentrating right now on the elementary. And as we were going to the break, we started discussing how some of the scores went up as a result of possibly principals making the decision that certain students would not be tested, since the state allows you to not include a percentage of children in the testing. And Peter, you seemingly indicated you did an analysis of schools that seemingly tested all, or those who tested less, and what impact did that seemingly at least appear to have on the test results?
Well, there were 21 schools that increased their scores by a lot. They increased their scores more than 10%.
Okay.
All right. And of those 21 schools, 16 of them tested a lot fewer kids.
Okay.
When they increased their scores. And when we talked about Frabel, some of the others, you know, Peabody is another one.
Hmm.
They tested more than one-third fewer kids.
Hmm.
And the scores went up 12.8%.
Okay.
So just things, and again, you know, it might be what we were talking about, that they're excluding certain kids. It also might be simply that enrollment is down and they still have the same number of teachers, same amount of school resources
mm-hmm.
that they could devote to fewer kids.
Mm-hmm. So we would need the enrollment numbers to actually determine whether or not it was, as you indicated,
right.
the enrollment was down,
right.
that they tested fewer kids. Like Fable, that's like 50%,
almost
50% less. Let's move on to look at some of the middle school scores.
Well, let me finish one more,
okay.
more thing here. On the other side, we had 8 schools where the scores dropped more than 10%.
And they tested everybody.
And in 5 of those, they had a big increase in the population they tested.
Okay.
Which I'm assuming in this case, in a couple of schools I know it was, they had a big increase in enrollment that new kids
Such
put
as?
In because a school was closed the previous year.
And what schools were those?
For example, Mann Elementary and Werner Elementary both had big increases. Oak Hill had a 68% increase in enrollment.
Mm.
You know, which even if you get the teaching stuff to go with it, there are always certain difficult is the first year and just strengthening out how the staff all works together, everything, when you have that many new people. Now, it's not perfect. You know, I'm not saying there's a perfect correlation in testing here. I want to point out 2 things here. Just as counterexamples, Clark Elementary, Northside School, had a 9% more third graders tested, and their MAP score increased by 26%, by 26
mm-hmm.
points. Laclede Elementary had 5% fewer kids that it tested, and the score still dropped 21%.
Mm.
So there are a lot of other things that go on besides just how big the class is.
Right.
Right. And I can't leave the elementary school subject without mentioning a charter school that the mayor's been promoting.
Yeah, I mean, he's on his podcast, he's just really like a cheerleader for this school.
Right, he's been promoting the Ethel Hedgman Lyle Charter School.
And oh, yeah.
He has a podcast, he has an email that he sends out, and a podcast. He's all in the new technology.
Oh, man.
And he calls the Ethel Hedgman Lyle School one of the city's great schools.
But they're not having such a good time on the...
Well, yeah, they don't have great MAP scores. In fact, on communication arts, there were only three public schools that had a lower MAP score than Ethel Hedgman Law.
Okay. That's in communication arts?
That's in communication arts.
But how do they do in math?
In math, I'm looking for them here. They did a little better in math. They have about 12, 13 schools that they're better than out of 60.
They're right down there in low, still at the low end.
They're still at the low end. And in science, they are... See, they don't test in science. A lot of the charter schools don't dare test their kids in science.
Is that because they don't teach science, or they don't have the equipment, or why? I mean, how do you get to... This is the thing. Okay, they're using public dollars to fund charter schools. So how do you get to pick and choose what you will test in?
Well, as part of state budget cuts a couple of years ago, I'm actually not sure how much it saved the state money, but the state said, well, we're going to make it voluntary to test kids in science and social studies.
Oh, it's voluntary. Now, we're in a technological age, trying to get more jobs in Missouri. We don't test in science.
Well, the charter schools don't. The public schools.
The charter schools. I mean, is that option open to the public schools as well?
It is, yes.
Okay, so you don't have to test in science.
Under the state's law, under No Child Left Behind, science is one of the things that they look at to see if you make annual yearly progress.
Okay. So the school that the SLAE is promoting is a school that is doing miserable in the subjects that are tested.
Yes.
Okay, and it opted not to test in the science.
Yes.
Okay. So if you, so then what does that say? The school that the mayor promotes as a great school is great because he says it's great, and are maps, either MAP scores are important or they're not. Or what is he basing the greatness of Ethel Lyles on?
Yeah, I don't know what he's basing the greatness on, but it's clear to me, this is kind of, blindingly light hypocrisy here, because the mayor, over the last several years, the mayor has not lost an opportunity to criticize public schools for low MAP scores and say, this is why we need all these changes Roberti's bringing in.
Exactly.
This is why we need to close schools. This is why we need all these changes that have been the last couple of years.
Right. The changes that Roberti brought in took a blue ribbon school with national recognition down nearing the bottom, and particularly in the communication arts.
Right.
Okay.
So, he's been lambasting public schools for low MAP scores, and then he turns around, and here's a charter school with even lower scores, and he says, this is a great school.
Well,
and it's a warning sign, too, here. It's a warning sign for us in the city of St. Louis about a bill that's going to come to the legislature next year.
And that the mayor and Vince Shamel are supporting.
The mayor and Vince Shamel, member of the school board, are supporting. They joined with Republican Governor Matt Blunt to call for a bill that would give state money, calling a scholarship, to families in what they call low-performing districts, that is, districts with low MAP scores, to go to private schools, modeled essentially on Ethel Hedgman Lyle, because those schools, just as Ethel Hedgman Lyle does not test in science, those private schools will not have to test in anything.
Yeah. And in view of the fact that, and perhaps this has nothing to do with the fact that the mayor is Catholic, and because of enrollment, a number of Catholic schools have had to close. I don't know whether that has anything to do with him pushing legislation that could benefit Catholic school. And incidentally, I grew up Catholic, and my mother is a staunch Catholic, and my younger sisters and brothers graduated from Catholic school. Let's take a look at the middle schools, Peter.
Okay. Middle school scores. That's communication arts, math and science. I'm going to make sure I have them all here.
All right.
In middle school, we had only one school that was above the state average.
And what school
in
was
communication
that?
Arts. And that was McKinley.
Mm.
And
one school?
One school. They were the only one above state average in communication arts. And McKinley, as we talked last week, staff at McKinley fears they're going to be closed.
Yeah.
They've lost 25% of their teaching staff this year.
Excuse me.
The rumor is the district wants to close them and disperse their students to other schools with the hope that raises those math scores.
And it appears to be a morale problem with the parents there, because it's my understanding they recently had a parents meeting that normally would be busting at the seams, and they were able to put the parents who came in one classroom rather than the cafeteria or the gym. So some troubling times ahead. What else, Peter?
Yeah, then when we get into math, there were 3 middle schools, this is out of 20, that were higher than the state average on their math scores. And that's McKinley, Bush, and Carr Lane. Bush is the Academic Athletic Academy, and Carr Lane is the Visual Performing Arts Middle School.
Okay.
In science, there were, again, 3 middle schools that had a higher MAP index than the state average. That's McKinley again. McKinley ranked at the top in all 3 categories. Then Blewett Middle School and Carr Lane again.
Mm. We're in trouble. We are in big trouble in the middle school era. What about high school?
High schools, there really isn't anything to talk about in high schools.
Oh,
high schools, there's one school that was above the state average in any of the categories, and that's Metro High.
Yeah.
Metro High had a fairly big drop in their communication arts scores last year. They stayed above the state average.
But they had a tremendous drop. What percentage do we know?
They had about a 7% drop in the communication arts scores.
Mm-hmm.
Went from 250 to 235.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Metro, and Metro has seen some trouble this year. They've last 2 years they've admitted larger freshman classes than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Metro in the past was a school that was essentially a sink or swim school. So about half the kids admitted in freshman class were gone by 11th grade.
Okay.
There's little support. If you were having trouble, there's little support to help you make it there. Kind of sets them apart from high schools across the state, where people had realized, hey, if we're going to succeed, we need to help all our schools succeed. There's some changing in thinking there at Metro.
So at the premier school that has been written about nationally, you mean to tell me that if a kid, it's like you on your own, so to speak?
Pretty much. That's historically what it was. That's what it was when Pamela Hughes was principal there. The new principal the last couple of years, a little more pressure on him to change things there at Metro.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the changes are ones that parents like.
Mm-hmm.
I think they admitted 123 freshmen this year.
In past years?
Past years they'd admitted about 80 and then graduated about 40. So this year they admitted 123.
There's a 50% drop off?
Yes.
Mm.
This year, I think it was 123, and he's under pressure to admit more. I understand that.
So enrollment is up. That means the class sizes are going to be up. And so we're probably going to see an impact on performance.
Yeah, there's a big push to increase class size at Metro.
Mm.
I understand that the school's under directive that if they can't get enrollment up over 300, basically, school facilities were built for 250. They have lockers and desks for 250.
All right.
And he was told if he can't get it up over 300, he'll lose 4 teachers.
All right. Well, we're nearing a break time. This is a morning wake-up call. This is the Liz Brown Show. I see you, callers. We're going to get to you when we get back after the break. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or please log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Stay tuned. We'll be back with you, and we'll go to the phones when we get back. I'm so crazy, Daddy. I never knew what love was all about. Well, James Moody, you can come on in, man. And you can blow now if you want to.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Ahoy, mateys, this is your captain here. This is no time to swab the deck. It's time to take the crew to Kids Expo 2005. Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. You'll find a shipload of family-oriented products and services, including the debut of the new Yo Stick from Playmate Toys, plus activities and entertainment for everyone. Don't forget to stop by Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars of gifts and prizes, including the grand prize, me very own treasure chest. Set sail now for Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square and sponsored by me shipmates at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at www.spcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional concepts production.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
All right, we're back with Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis School Watch. We're going to go to the phone. Ex-Peter, talk to us.
How are you this morning?
I'm good.
You know, you're looking at these MAP scores, and just like any other test scores, and I've been, I guess I, not to be bragging, I've been studying test scores and academic performance of African-American students in schools for, I guess, about 10, maybe 12 years. And you see that at the elementary grades, they always do very well, and especially on science because there's a lot of hands-on experiences in their science lessons. But as they get up in the middle school,
but that doesn't appear to be, that doesn't seem to be borne out in the scores.
Pardon me?
That doesn't seem to be borne out in the test scores. The science, they're not doing that well in science.
Well,
but we had, you know, we did have 23 schools, that's close to half, where the students did better in science than the state average.
Right. Yeah, you'll see them do very well in science. But the thing that you're looking at is that at the elementary, middle school, and your high school, you see where the interest, the scores, and everything begin to drop until they're very deplorable. And you know, there's a lot of tricks that go on, like you mentioned. You know, the number of students, some students aren't allowed to take the test, which really I can't understand how that applies with no child left behind. And when you have a school that's doing very well, and there's a lot of things that play into this, not only the social aspects, the economic aspect, also the community concern. Apparently, Laclede, a school that had a lot of community support, that went around with the children being able to do so well. But when all those things play in, and also one great thing that's play in it, that every year you have a different all these different problems come in every year with a new group of students. And it's just it's a delicate balance that has to be gotten there. I think the reason for taking over the school district with a new board and so forth really didn't have anything to do with test scores, because test scores are going to pretty much, you know, ferret himself out.
Do you really believe that, Peter?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
From my studying, yes, I do.
Okay, well, let's look at Laclede, okay, who historically, despite all the changes, and that's in a very somewhat depressed area of our city.
Mm-hmm.
Despite that, Laclede had consistently done very well over the years until there was a rapid change in terms of the leadership of the school when Ms. Roberts was removed from Laclede and she was brought downtown, and with the changes in teachers, and now we're seeing the change with respect to the principal. So, I mean, what you're saying is, sure, they have circumstances that come in, but...
Well, what you just said is also something I've seen before, too, because I've seen schools like Laclede before that's doing excellent with a tremendous staff. Everything is working like a fine-tuned engine. Then if you got that type of performance at one school and you got such low performance at other school, administration say, well, if we just take 10% from over here, from this fine-performing school, and put this 10% over this low-performing school, we can raise them up. I've seen that before also.
Okay.
Peter, and it's really deplorable.
It is. Peter, I'm going to have to move on.
And one other thing.
Peter, can
bear with me, brother.
You can call me back, but I want to get these other two calls in on the cell phone, okay?
Sure. And talk about the, you know, a child can take a child out of low-performing school and put them in a private school. I think that's something good. Go ahead.
Okay, well, Bill, talk to us.
Good morning.
Good morning, dear.
Let me, if I get just a second, and I'm glad you took the cell phone thing because it gets in my pocket. But Peter mentioned the mayor's initiative about Ethel Hesman Lyle. And let me enlighten you, because it goes much further than what's being said. There is a management company that this mayor is supporting. It's called Imagine Charter School Management Company.
Imagine. That's an appropriate name for it.
Yeah, imagine. And this same charter.
Imagine a great school that's not so great.
Right. And understand this, too. Is Peter still there?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Imagine when I put Thurgood Marshall together, I did it through Beacon Education Management. Then Beacon was bought out by another charter school management company, and now bought out. Before they helped close me, Imagine. So it went through three management companies. Now that same management company has Ethel Hesman Lyle. And I read in the paper the other day where the school where Harris Stowe was wondering why Ethel Hesman Lyle didn't come up and let him know about these plans, is because these charter school management companies come in and take full control. So they have nothing to say or afraid to say something, so they're controlled by these moneyed people.
But let me ask you this, Bill, and I'm going to have to move on to the next caller. But despite that, Harris is the sponsor of
Ethel Hesman Lyle.
Okay, and so there was no withdrawing of his sponsorship despite the fact that Ethel Harris Lyle has not kept them informed of changes that are being made.
Well, there was no immediate withdrawal, but Harris Stowe has said that they weren't interested in a continuance. And the fact is, charter school law demands that the board of directors be in control. And right now, Imagine has seized control of more than $1 million from that used to be Thurgood Marshall, put a lock on their money, and they're taking control of Ethel Hesman Lyle also.
So that therein lies one of the biggest problems that we have with charter schools. Brother, I'm going to move on to this next car phone, okay?
Okay, sister.
Okay, take care. King on the car phone.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I don't know. Education is an abstract. I hear you all talk about it. So that's one child or 30 kids in a classroom who change every year. Their whole structure, mind structure, body structure, because I've dealt with children for years, even my own children. So just to put and I know the math school is important because that's what President Bush wants. They connected to the money and the teacher's salaries and how much food the kids will get. But it's very disingenuous to try to understand the human mind, because everybody who calls on this radio station, I'm sure that every one of us have a different score. We do better in math than you do in science. I know it's something that people have to look at, but don't let the racists and the bigots use this against our children to cut money and to say the schools are not doing a good job, because I know that children change through the ages, and it's just about just get on in and do the
point
job.
Well taken. We're at the end of the School Watch. We've been here with Peter Downs, who has given us some information on the MAP scores and has really analyzed them somewhat in depth, although we could use some math majors to assist with some further analysis. Come back with us next Wednesday. Peter will be back with us with more discussions about what's going on in the St. Louis Public Schools. And of all the sad things that have happened in Louisiana, one of the good things is that the hurricane ran Roberti out of Louisiana as well. So stay tuned. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be back after the news.
So good. Let me take you by the hand. Come let us visit out
today. WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. It's like mobilizing for a war. The American Red Cross will prepare 500,000 meals each day and will deliver them to hurricane refugees along the Gulf Coast. Refugees like T.J. Phillips of Biloxi, Mississippi, who says his neighborhood has been blitzed.
There's nothing. There was stuff on the corner, houses, businesses. It's all been leveled. It's just a pile of trash now.
ABC's Aaron Kucherski says Biloxi looks like it was hit with a bomb.
Official estimates say nearly 90% of the city's structures were either damaged or destroyed. A thin layer of dust instantly covers you when you walk through the debris-laden streets. Everything smells of stale salt water, or worse. Later, in the sweltering heat of daylight, one policeman told me, we'll be pulling bodies.
In Louisiana, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says the bodies will lead to epidemics if they're not recovered quickly. Many rescue teams, though, are still searching for, and they're finding, survivors marooned in the flooding. Mayor Nagin tells ABC News thousands will remain homeless for months.
We're probably looking at 12 to 16 weeks before people can come in.
Engineers are still struggling to repair two broken levees in New Orleans. Those levees are letting in all the floodwaters. President Bush returns to the White House today to supervise the government's emergency response. One of the first things the president will do is turn on some of the taps on the strategic oil reserves.
As President Bush returns to Washington, we get news that he will authorize the release of some quantity of crude oil from massive government reserves. This is supposed to help keep oil flowing through the system and prevent shortages.
ABC's Ann Compton with the president at the Bush Ranch in Texas. Some oil rigs in the Gulf have been spotted as far away as 17 miles from their original Gulf locations, pushed off their platforms by Hurricane Katrina. This is ABC News.
Tom Grady and John Madden on the road. Two men, two strong wills, one serious satellite radio.
All right, Tom.
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors. Boom! Paper covers rock. I win, Tom.
What's at stake? Sirius Satellite Radio.
Yes! Elvis Channel it is.
Elvis? How about some uncensored comedy?
These two giants of the gridiron may not agree on a choice of channel, but they both agree on Sirius Satellite Radio. With over 120 channels, including 100% commercial free music and the best sports coverage.
How about some eeny, meeny, miny, moe?
Right now, get a Sirius Satellite Radio for just $49.95 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Offer valid with 6-month prepaid subscription and available for a limited time at participating retailers. Subscriptions sold separately. Terms, conditions, and activation fee apply. Visit Best Buy, Circuit City, Crutchfield.com, Radio Shack, or Sirius.com for details. It's more than just radio. It's Sirius Satellite Radio.
A horrible story is unfolding in Baghdad, where hundreds are dead after a stampede during a religious procession. ABC's Miguel Marquez is there.
There was an enormous panic over the Tigris River as hundreds of thousands of Shiite Muslim pilgrims were headed to a shrine in northwestern Baghdad. Over 600 Iraqis died when a panic broke out on this bridge. There are rumors that there was a suicide bomber present. There are also reports that after that, Iraqi National Guardsmen began firing into the air. further spurring the panic. Women and children were pushed over the bridge into the Tigris River. Many of the people died from drowning.
ABC's Miguel Marquez. Rudy for president. Former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani in Sydney, Australia for a business conference says he probably won't decide until next year whether he'll run for president in 2008. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryansmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, the trial is over for a Waterloo man accused of killing his pregnant wife. A Monroe County jury yesterday found James Wiley not guilty. He had been charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of Twyla Wiley. The 21-year-old woman was 2 weeks pregnant when she was found fatally shot in a Waterloo park 2 years ago. St. Louis County residents could soon see a little relief on their tax bills. St. Louis County Councilman Kurt Odenwald last night introduced a plan to reduce county property taxes. Odenwald says his plan would give $5 million back to St. Louis County residents. He says the money would come from the debt service fund and not from such sources as the police or health funds. Odenwald says he hopes there will be a public hearing on his proposal next week because the measure would have to be passed no later than September 20th. A film screening and panel discussion tonight will focus on the Corgi sex abuse scandal. The documentary Twist of Faith, about a firefighter who confronts the trauma of childhood sexual abuse by a priest, will premiere tonight at 8 at Webster University. While the public scandal is relatively recent, Voice of the Faithful in St. Louis chairman Michael Pollard says the film is proof that sexual abuse by clergy is nothing new.
The idea of sex abuse wasn't something that just happened in 2002. In this man's case, it was an experience that happened. His victimization was an experience that happened many years ago, and it affects him today.
The film will be followed by a panel discussion featuring Pollard, St. Louis Circuit Attorney Jennifer Joyce, local priest Steve Robeson, and David Clossy, the National Director of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. Finally this hour, the Cardinals will try for the series win when they take on the Marlins in the rubber game this evening. Jeff Suppan hopes to end a two-game slide that has dropped his record to 12-10 with an ERA of 4.02. Suppan is 1-2 in 6 career starts against Florida, including a loss earlier this season. Marlins left-hander Jason Vargas will be trying to continue his strong rookie campaign. Vargas is coming off 2 straight wins over the Cubs and Dodgers that have boosted his record to 5-1 along with a 3.16 ERA. Game time is set for 6:05 at Dolphin Stadium. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Missouri Lottery Powerball. With jackpots starting at $15 million, Missouri Lottery's Powerball is bigger and happens more often than ever before. It could be your ticket to Lucky Town. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by JCPenney. Westbound 40 at Lindbergh, that accident has been cleared, but traffic jams all the way to Clayton Skinker. Northbound 55 between Bayless accident has been cleared, and traffic jams all the way to Rivas Barracks. Eastbound 70 between Zumbo and 94, look for an accident involving a dump truck. Only one lane is reportedly getting by, and traffic is backed up to near Cave Springs this hour. Northbound 55 is at Butler Hill and 270, slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 44 between 170 and 270, or 141 and 270, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Fullerton, look for slow traffic in the right lane as you approach New Florissant Road. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, that is closed due to construction. You can use 11th Street exit to get around that construction area and get through downtown. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44, you've got stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley Road. There's still traffic in pockets there as well. Westbound 5570 split from Illinois 203 onto the PSB. Look for stop-and-go traffic in your 8 o'clock commute. Westbound 64 slows just from Bow all the way to the 5570 split. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto to PSB. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound Route 30 at Burns Mill looks for an accident there. And Natural Bridge at Hanley, there's an accident involving a pedestrian. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by JCPenney, the JCPenney half-day clear-away event. This Wednesday only, that's today. Stores open later at 11 a.m. 75% off clearance store-wide. It's all inside JCPenney. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s this evening. Partly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers with a low in the upper 60s. Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 70 degrees. Liz Brown is on vacation for the next 2 weeks, but sitting in for her on the wake-up call, Irene J. Smith is up next. That Beaumont graduate will take your phone calls. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Exposed to a little of that, a little something by Sarah Vaughan. Well, we just had a very informative hour with Peter Downs talking about MAP scores in the city of St. Louis, and I think the point that the last caller make, the points that are very well taken. You know, we take the MAP scores and we trounce on the kids about it, but I guess one of the points that needs to be made is if we are going to use the MAP scores and we're going to use those to beat up on certain Board of Educations and the teachers and the principals, then let's consistently use them. And therefore, you know, we need to just really look at having a consistent means of applying the test and the same standards. And if the MAP test has to be taken, then all who receive any type of public funding, be it by tax credits or otherwise, those schools should be subject to and required to take the MAP test if we're going to use that as an indication of how well or not how well we're doing in our schools. I'm going to go to the phone lines at this time, and I'm going to talk to Lorenzo. Good morning. Good morning. Lorenzo.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Smith.
Good morning.
This is Lorenzo. I hate to change the subject a bit, but I couldn't take a chance on you not knowing about Sylvester Smith.
Yes, I've
missed a friend of yours. I took your picture with him at one time.
Yeah, I announced it on Monday that Mr. Smith had passed, and his funeral services are today. Do you want to give the listening audience the location?
Archway Funeral Home on Don Road at 6 o'clock, 6 to 8.
Okay. Do you have the address of the Archway Funeral Home?
No, I just know it's on Don Road, right west of Graham Road. Just a block or two west of there. They can call and get the information. And the funeral is tomorrow at St. Louis U
church.
Grand and Lindell.
The college. The college church.
Yeah, Grand and Lindell at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you, Mrs. Smith.
Thank you so very much. Yes, we did announce. I did announce on Monday that we were sending our condolences to the Sylvester Smith family, and many of you knew Mr. Smith. He was the first black superintendent in the St. Louis Public Schools. He was also not in the state of Missouri. He was the first black superintendent in the state of Missouri. He was also the first instructional coordinator in the St. Louis Public Schools, and he had a very heavy task, but he lived up to it. He was responsible for finding employment for many of our children who were placed in lower tracks, and he also worked very hard in the community in a lot of charitable organizations. He was very active with the community in our efforts to fight the dismantling of the St. Louis Public Schools. He was often working with the writing committee and the letter writing committee. And so, again, our condolences go out to his family. Visitation will be this evening from 6 to 8 at Archway Funeral Home on Dunn. During the break, perhaps I'll try to get that address. And tomorrow, the Mass will be at the College Church, which is located, St. Louis University College Church, which is located on Lindell and Grand at 1 o'clock. Let's go to the phone lines. Otis, talk with us.
Well, good morning, and I think I'm a little off the subject again. I just talked to my sister in Birmingham, Alabama. That's where I come from. And we were talking about the events going on down south. You know, they're having a mandatory evacuation of New Orleans, which is a large, large population of black people. A lot of them are heading toward upper south, you know, Alabama and Birmingham and those cities, Tuscaloosa. And unfortunately, many of those folks don't have no resources to travel, and many are walking. I mean, just on the highway, actually literally walking out of New Orleans. And they don't, you know, in the very beginning, many of them were poor. And in Birmingham, Alabama, unfortunately, the most terrible thing, if people are seeking shelter in Alabama, even the few of a handful of hotels that are available are finding that they can't get in there because they're having a football game in Birmingham. And everybody knows the reputation of Alabamians. When there's a football game, there's no hotel, no space in the inn.
Exactly.
Now, what happens is, I'm just wondering, since we're looking at this big evacuation and watching people on TV walking out of Birmingham, why don't we have a mobilization of church buses and available people who can go down there and take some of those folks and give those people a ride?
Exactly.
Maybe even offer them a little space in the homes and places. I mean, we've got to do some old-fashioned friendly helping right now with getting some space for some people to live.
Exactly.
And I think that I'm listening, and maybe in particular on this radio station, for the large number of people who are responsible, who can drive a bus, a church bus, to maybe offer some of those people a hand and maybe bring them into a little a group of folks who have already been warned that they will be expected to maybe give these people temporary shelter.
Exactly.
And maybe even a helping hand to feed them and all. This is our chance for Christians to shine.
This is our chance for anybody who has charity in their heart, and Christians are not the only ones who have charity in their heart. I think your point is very well taken. It appears that the city of New Orleans did not have an evacuation plan in place. But in the meantime, we need to take care of our people. And in this situation, you know, yes, a number of the people there are African Americans, but this has touched everybody.
It didn't
escape anybody. It's not discriminating.
No.
You know, Katrina is not discriminating. You know, We're waiting somewhat anxiously because my brother-in-law and his father are there.
Yeah.
So
my family's there too.
You know, so we are waiting and hopeful because they don't live very far from the dome. Initially, they were in pretty good shape, but that was prior to the levee breaking. So again, I think the brother has made a very definite point.
Hey, thank
There's
you.
A call out. You know, we should send a shout out to the churches.
Right.
Contact, and it has to be done in of course a coordinated fashion.
Right.
So I would encourage the churches and anyone that has the availability of transportation.
Yeah.
To contact the Salvation Army, to contact the American Red Cross, and to see in what way we can be of service. He brought a very good point when he said that we can open our doors. We have a lot of large churches, a lot
right.
of small churches that have, you know, gymnasiums
right.
and things of this nature. We have got to help. These are our people, and this devastation is hitting this land, which is our land. So let's reach out to them. Thank you very
thank
much,
you
brother.
Thank you very much, Irene.
All right. Thank you. And again, funeral services for Sylvester Smith, who was known as Smitty, particularly in the St. Louis Public Schools and the Kinlock Public Schools. His services will be, visitation will be today, this evening from 6 to 8 at Archway Mortuary, which is located at 111 Taylor Road. That's 111 Taylor Road. The telephone number there is 895-3900. Again, his viewing will be today from 6 to 8 at the Archway Mortuary, tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the St. Louis University College Church, located at Lindell and Grand, will be his funeral. Community, you know, he loved the community. He was very active, very concerned about our young people. And I believe Mr. Smith was 90 years old, and he was still stepping until the very end. So let's go out and show our support for the family. Thank you. I'm going to move on to this brother. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Hill.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
That's good.
You know, I was just listening to the gentleman was talking about what the blacks be doing down in Alabama trying to help each other. You know, it kind of reminds me of, ma'am, is when I look at the peoples in Sudan. You know, all those black people over there just dying. And what I see, now, please, I'm not talking about that black folks don't help black folks.
Because they do.
I'm just talking about what is projected for the masses of people to see on the American television. Is who do I see helping? White folks. They're the one out there. You know.
You know what? I think number one that everything that is shown on TV that it does not show the depth of how people are helping each other.
Right.
You know
right,
that's what the media is showing. But you and I both know that there are things that we even us ourselves individually do, and we don't do it seeking it to be publicized or anything like that. So there are black folks out there helping black folks. There are white folks out there helping white folks. There are black folks helping white folks in this situation. So, you know, I know, you know, the public, you know, projects, the media projects what they are projecting. It is showing, you know, people helping people, and a lot of you're correct. That is being shown. But at the same time, what is being showed on television is just a microcosm of what people are out there doing to help one another.
And, you know, Mrs. Smith, that's why we have the problem that we're saying that we are talking now like we are. We should go back to the old times because we knew what was happening in our community. Our school teachers, the old black school teacher, we were segregated, and he would even take time off on Saturdays. I know in Charleston, Mississippi, my hometown, he would take on a Saturday morning that the kids, that the boys, black boys that couldn't go to school and had to work in the fields and things, the sharecroppers, he would take his time off and educate those kids, tell them parents and things, to bring them boys on down there, let me teach them how to read and things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, we don't have that now for the community to know anything. Everybody, when you're talking about the school was teaching you how to make grades. You know, when I read a book to learn something about the benefit of human being, how to treat people and how to treat myself. But when you send a kid into school and his mind is on making a grade, he only have to do one thing, learn four things. and that is to remember names, dates, times, and places. And you can get any kind of degree, master anything, but is he smart? Did it help him? Or do we have to wait until we are in a situation like we have our educated class today talking about, well, you know, we should know that. Well, you know, well, I know this, but they don't. But we doing this. No, it should be out there because that's the motivation. That's why white folks is always projected out front, that they are the grid and they are doing something. White kids get the benefit out of seeing that. But when you see your own people is lacking or hid back someplace, it kills the child's self-esteem. He have no motivator, you know.
Yes,
but the blacks are doing wonderful things out there for them. Why is it that you know? I really don't want to get on the rap thing, but I'm just talking about the latest things.
We're gonna get to the rap thing today because I have a hip hop CD that I want you to hear. I'm gonna play a portion of it, but anyway, I'm gonna move on because the board is completely full. But I think that there are our children who are out there who are seeing our people. All colors, and particularly African Americans, helping each other. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, dear. Thank you. Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, great. You said you graduated from Beaumont?
Of course.
Okay, okay. I'm not quite your age, but I'm 44.
Oh, you a baby.
Yeah, but I don't want to say
I got the perfect seven over you.
Huh?
I got the perfect seven over you.
I knew some people when I grew up on Redbud in the 60s. I knew some people that graduated.
I graduated from Beaumont in 72.
Huh?
I graduated in 72 from Beaumont.
From Beaumont High School. You know what? What I noticed when, you remember Harris? That school down the street, that little elementary?
I was looking at it yesterday, and it's so sad when I see that school.
I started off at that school.
Okay.
And then I used to make straight A's.
Uh-huh.
Because we had smaller classes.
Exactly.
And when I moved to Yateman, let me tell you what they did, though, because I was the first kindergarten class of Yateman.
Okay.
You know, I guess I've come of age now that I'm 44. I can actually say something. I have some history behind me.
All right.
And what happened was it was so crowded in those schools that we used to have to sit on the ledge, and we didn't have enough books. So the problem in the black community when it comes to education has to do with the amount of kids the teachers have to teach.
I think that's
the biggest problem because we had poorer kids when I was coming up as a child in the 60s. I mean, you know, as a baby, basically, in the 60s. It were poorer kids than kids are today. You know, and we had single-parent families had the same problems. But what the difference was, those teachers actually, it was smaller classes, and they loved you. They really did. They knew who you. It was a neighborhood situation.
I understand. I'm gonna tell you something. Sometimes you had smaller classes, but I'm gonna tell you, I started out at Dunbar, in kindergarten,
right.
And the class. I mean, it was so big. Now maybe it seems big because I was little, okay? But we had at that time we had where you either went to kindergarten in the morning or the afternoon. That's how many children we had that were going to school. And we had large classes. But seemingly we had more people there to assist the students, even if it was just of a voluntary nature. You know, they wasn't on staff or anything. But certainly the size of the class does make a difference. The relationship between the teachers and the administrative staff and basically everybody in the schools makes a difference in terms of how the kids perform. But, brother, I have a full board,
okay.
And I'm nearing the bottom of the hour, so I want to get to the next call.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Good morning.
You're right there, older woman. This stratified society doesn't seem to work the way the baby boomers' parents and the baby boomers' grandparents, except for the blacks. I always put that in. Society seemed to work better before the baby boomers took power, graduated college, and they're controlling it right now. But you know, Miss Smith, they're saying 80% of New Orleans is underwater, and soon 100% will be underwater. They're showing, you know, snakes, alligators.
Yeah.
They showed an alligator swallowing a huge ham. I guess he went into a supermarket.
Can I ask you something, Rose? Because
yes, sir.
It seems that
each
individual calls in. It's like they have to give us a recap of the horrors that are taking place in New Orleans. And that's why I really appreciated the first caller that we were able to get to after the break, who talked about what we can do to aid and assist our sisters and brothers in the southern states that have been devastated by Katrina. So, I mean, can you think of something that we might be able to do to assist the people down there?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm old and I'm ill. I can only stand 10 minutes on my feet.
So I can't really do it.
The degenerate government of Bush does help. I really don't know. They're so hated by people like me that I expect nothing out of them, but they're saying there won't even be electricity for 2 months. The South hasn't went through this since 1865, when Sherman marched through Georgia.
It's certainly a devastation of historical proportion.
Let me just make one more comment about whether the president's policies work. They announced yesterday another million people slipped into poverty last year, making 4.5 million have slipped into poverty since Bush took office. Under Clinton, there were 23 million jobs, and average household income went up 20% from the top to the bottom.
Okay, thank you for that.
Thank you very much, older woman, and have a nice day.
You too. We're at the bottom of the hour. This has been the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. Liz is on vacation. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. Our contact number is 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or log in on the World Wide Web at www.WGNU.net. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break.
The moment you're near, you can say that you're leading me on. But it's just what I want you to do. Don't you know?
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sears. Westbound 40 at Lindbergh. There's an accident that's been cleared. Traffic jams through Clayton Skinker at this hour. Northbound 55 at Bayless. That accident has been cleared and traffic jams all the way through Rivas Barracks. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to Lehigh Ferry, expect normal traffic in your 8:30 commute. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, look for slow traffic going on there. Northbound 270 between Sappington and Marshall, stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between Brentwood and McKnight, heavy traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, you also have slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 split from the Exchange all the way onto the PSB, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for traffic to be easing this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything is running smoothly. And northbound Route 3 onto the PSB, that traffic is finally easing up. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sears. Right now, Sears has every kind of jean for every kind of person on sale. Levi's, Bongo, LEI, U.S. Polo, Lee, and more, now through Tuesday at Sears. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of storms with a low in the upper 60s. For Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low around the mid-60s. And Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71, both under sunny skies. Liz Brown is on vacation. Stay tuned for more of the Wake Up Call with your special guest host, Irene J. Smith. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
My name is Craig Skubik. I'm the host of The Adjustment Zone every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Along with my co-host, Dr. Shane May, we provide an insight to the advantages and benefits of chiropractic care by answering your questions and listening to your comments. We also take your email. We cover everything from improving your overall health to the science behind it. That's The Adjustment Zone with me, Craig Skubik, and Dr. Shane May, every Saturday afternoon at 3, only on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Sign your preschool up for a preschool dance class at the Greensfelder Recreation Complex in Queenie Park, 550 Wideman Road in Baldwin. The classes for children ages 2.5 to 5 will be on Wednesdays from September 7th through the 28th from 11:30 a.m. to noon. Cost is $20 for the 4-week session. Pre-registration is required. To find out more, call Tanya at 636-391-0922, extension 12. Something to do from WGNU.
What's on the mind of today's teenagers? Find out on T3, Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
I know it's past visiting hours, but can I please give her these flowers? The doctor don't want to take procedures. He claimed my heart can't take the anesthesia. It'll send her body into a seizure. The little thing by the hospital bed, it'll stop beeping. Hey, chick, I'm at a loss for words. What do you say at this time? Remember when I was 9? Tell her everything gonna be fine, but I be lying. The family crying, they want her to live, and she trying. I'm arguing like, what kind of doctor can we find? You know the best medicine go to people that's paid. If Magic Johnson got a cure for AIDS, and all the broke passed away. You telling me if my grandma's in the NBA, right now she'd be okay. But since she was just a secretary, worked for the church for 35 years, things supposed to stop right here. My grandfather trying to pull it together, he's strong. That's where I get my confidence from. Asked the nurse, did you do the research? She asked me, can you sign some t-shirts? Is you smoking? You don't see that we hurt, but still.
All right. That wasn't a particular cut. I forgot which number it was, perhaps. But Obadiah, that's just a sampling of some of Kanye West's hip-hop music. So, brother, I think you would really enjoy some of the jazz that he features on that particular CD. And I say that to say, and I let you hear that, so that I can say, let's not give a sweeping indictment to hip-hop. Let us not paint it with a wide brush and paint it all as being negative and all about being about cursing. So just learn. Let's try to learn something from our young people as well, because when you stop learning, you are dead. Talk to me, Carphone.
How you doing, Irene?
I'm okay. How are you?
Hello?
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Irene, I'd just like to get your opinion on something, a couple of things right quick. You know, there's like in New Orleans down there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those people will probably want to have electricity or food for the next, they say, what, about a couple of months?
That's correct.
And those stores down there, you know, with food, in a desperate situation, would you say that those people were just stealing to try to survive and eating, you know, going in the stores, getting the food? Because
I think the majority of them are. At least the pictures that I saw mm-hmm. one woman and another sister calling pointed this out to us, that she was taking some Pampers because her child needed mm-hmm. some Pampers. I think, sure, there are going to be people who think that they're taking advantage of a situation, but it seems like most of the people are just taking survival type stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Something's, you know, that's the way I look at it, because these people, I mean, it's awful sad when you sit there and look at bodies floating down the street, people on top of roofs trying to survive, and a little food. Now, I was talking to a host last night, and he was talking about how these people are stealing, but he kept saying that they're stealing TVs. And I think he was only trying to please white folks when he said about, I said, but what about the food? What about the food that these people, and he says, stealing is stealing. I say, hell, white folks have stole a whole damn country. And they talking about, what's their excuse for stealing a whole country? What's the excuse of them? And these people down here trying to survive,
you know,
in any kind of way that they can.
You know, they always have the looting stories, and you know that's a part of the coverage of it. But for real, I mean, I want to hear the coverage on what are we going to do about a young woman who has a young baby who
mm-hmm.
needs oxygen support,
mm-hmm.
who needs electricity. So the fools that are stealing the TVs, they are really crazy, because they, mm. I mean, they're not going to use them.
Right, they can't do anything
They can't
with
do
that.
Anything with them. And when that water start rising, you know, unless they're going to use the TV to float on, you know, so they're not using their heads, they're out of their minds, you know. But I wish they would focus on more of the so-called looting that is showing people taking water, people taking Pampers, people taking, you know, things of survival type means like that.
Well, they always gonna focus on the, you know, on the negative part about it. And one other thing, you know, when I look at politics and politicians, and I look at people in business. Now, would you say the people that just a regular voter is different from a person that's having a business, that in a situation where if you're trying to look out for yourself in a business, no matter how doggers or alderman is or one of them are, if you're trying to get something for your business, and you go to that politician and he help you, that's who you're supposed to deal with, right?
That's up to the individual.
Yeah, that's up to the individual, but everybody's out here trying to make it.
Okay.
And if that's what it calls for, you have to go to that politician to get what you want, then I don't see no problem with that.
Well, some people do. It depends on how that person is using their power. But, brother, I got a full board. I'm going to move on, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, have a good day. Good morning.
How are you, Sister Irene?
I'm good, Brother Malik. How are you?
Well, other than a little joy, I'm there.
Okay.
I prepared this, and your sister Carolyn wrote it for me.
All right.
Several years ago.
All right.
I gave it to her, and she had it typed up. And it still holds true today. Now, it's going to step on some feet, Irene, but I really don't care.
Okay, well, let's get to it so that we can get through it before the break.
All right. How long? We got about 2 minutes?
We got about three.
Okay. America is like a huge insane asylum filled with violently insane people. Murderers, robbers, dope addicts, alcoholics, rapists, you name it, and America's got it, both black and white. No nation on earth is as filthy as America, and there's no respect for God at all by America. It allows all kinds of religions to exist on its shores, whether they practice moral discipline or not. It doesn't matter to America. This is so it can confuse the masses of ignorant people and keep them divided, arguing one against the other. America is also guilty of the same thing in the political arena. The so-called Negroes in America are the most gullible, misled people on earth when it comes to religion and politics, for they know very little about either one. They are the victims of corrupt religious and political leaders who easily play on their intelligence. Most of these phony religious and political leaders appeal to the so-called Negro masses by using the word black. This is blown up out of proportion, usually, but nevertheless is effective. They rob the poor of their hard-earned cash and give them nothing in return but a sweet promise of sermon. Both religious and political leaders are guilty in the eyes of God, who is aware of what they do and will pay them back soon for their evil doing and taking advantage of the poor. The so-called Negroes also are guilty of allowing these phony religious and political leaders to rob them of their hard-earned money and time by being so gullible to soft talk and phony promises. Most of these black leaders live far away from the ghettos. They ride around in big cars while you walk or ride buses. Most of them are vain and egomaniacs who love to see their pictures on the TV or in papers or on billboards. Yet they will never admit this to you, the little nobody who made them what they are today, while you still suffer and scuffle to pay your bills. They don't even give you a dollar to pay your rent. Yet they call you their black brother or sister. Wake up and stop playing the fool. You can't buy God's messages nor salvation. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Malik. That's saying quite a bit. We're right at our break time. Morning wake-up call, listeners. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, or you can get us long distance at 1-877-920-WGNU, or log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break.
X-rays. I ain't no expert. I'm just hurt because the cam took off of work. Plus my aunt Shirley.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerangs. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open weekends. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies. Marshmallows.
Cotton candy.
Left to their own devices, children wouldn't always eat right.
Chocolate donuts for breakfast.
I want pizza.
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 Pop
why they have you.
French fries!
And you have WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food to women, infants, children. It's confidential and free. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. That's 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you.
Pepperoni pizza.
And you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
This is AM 920, WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
A little bit of the Hymn by Charlie Yardbird Parker. Let's see what Jeff has to talk about. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Irene?
I'm good, dear. How are you?
I can't complain. I'm above average.
All right. You're doing good.
Right. Yeah, I can't complain. I did. Nobody listen to me.
I would.
I know you listen to me right now. What I was calling about, I'm kind of piggybacking off your last caller's, the call before your last caller's statement regarding the images that are being projected on the television regarding the victims of this catastrophe down New Orleans, more specifically, and the Gulfport area.
Mm-hmm.
I was up late last night watching MSNBC, what have you, and Rita, whatever her name is, I forget some of their names, but you know, she was constantly talking about the looting and what have you. If people don't understand, if you've never been in a disaster like that, after about 5 or 6 hours, what has occurred to you starts to have a psychological effect. And these people that were looting, I saw people picking up things like toothbrushes, toothpaste. I don't call it looting. I call it survival of the fittest. Even though some of those people weren't able to get out of there alive, when reality set in that this devastation had a toll that was much larger than might have been anticipated, it started to affect you psychologically. I wouldn't call it looting. I would call it just surviving.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the media has just been showing all these different images of carnage and what have you. And then they broke the news. They broke in by saying that the president's going to discontinue his vacation by 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like we needed to know specifically how, you know, he's been on vacation for 4.5 weeks. And it just bothered me the way it was being projected. And it seemed like it was taking forever for emergency relief. You know, if you knew 7 days ago that this Category 5 hurricane was coming, I think FEMA could have done better with having things in place a little sooner.
I think FEMA could. I think they're saying that 60% of the State Guard is still present in Louisiana and not in Iraq.
Right.
Then it seems very clear that there was no evacuation plan in place. So that tells us that those of us here, we need to get busy. But I think your point is very well taken as with respect to the images that are being projected.
Right.
But I think that we could really just, I would like to see us just focus on, and the media as well, focus on how we can bring some relief to those families, because people are being impacted in a big way. We cannot even imagine. We don't know what it's like to lose everything.
And I'm praying to God that around the country, I hope that, you know, the congregations around the country are having emergency sessions right now.
Exactly. We need so much prayer.
We need to exhibit, and I don't mean to compare and contrast, but we need to exhibit as much, if not more, concern for what has happened in New Orleans as we did, you know, as compared to what happened over in India.
Exactly.
And, you know, and Bill Clinton, where you at?
Yeah.
George Bush, your daddy, where you at?
Yeah, everybody comes out. I know I was looking, and I know we talk about Walmart, the number one retailer, but I did see that Walmart was the first retailer to send $1 million. I mean, that's not much, but if each of those
right.
who are similarly situated would double that, and if hopefully Walmart will quadruple that, because there is need of tremendous resources for the families who have been devastated in the states that have been hit by Katrina, and we certainly can make a difference.
And, you know, in closing, what was really, really sad, and I think it probably hurt people and myself even more, was when these people retreated to the Superdome, because this is a big facility. And it was my perception, and maybe that of others, that, man, we can go in here and I think we'll be safe.
Mm.
But when the Superdome started to deteriorate and come apart, and they start, you know, making statements about, you know, not having running water and not electricity in there, that really put a different spin on this whole thing.
Exactly. I mean, and the thing of it is, you know, I saw where they were doing a poll where they were asking individuals, what would you do? What do you do with people who don't evacuate? And, you know, people were saying things like they ought to be fined. People were saying things like, well, they ought to be, you know, they ought to be the least ones to be evacuated for rescue efforts. The truth of the matter is we don't know individual circumstances. There was one gentleman that they interviewed. He said, yes, I'm able-bodied. He said, but my mother is 90 years old, and I was not going to leave my mother. We don't have transportation.
It was quite obvious that the logistics of it.
It was obvious that the city did not have an evacuation plan. Certainly the state guard could have gone in if they had buses, and they could have went door to door and did mandatory evacuation. But again, people thought that they were going to stay the course, and you never know. I mean, my folks, they didn't leave. I mean, you know, my brother-in-law, Howard and his dad, they did not leave. And initially, you know, they did not have much damage to their homes, you know, and that was before the levee broke. So now, of course, we're just all praying for
right.
the best for our family members
right.
and for people in general. So it's
the
nice for us to sit back
too, that,
and...
That second levee broke, and, you know, it's like New Orleans is like a bowl.
It is. It
a
is.
A bowl submerged in water.
Scott, but I'm going to move on to try to get another caller in.
Hey, if you run for governor, let us know.
I'm definitely not going to do that. I'm going to leave that to others, I guess, that are shoring up to do that.
But I appreciate your efforts.
Okay, thank you so very much, and I appreciate your call, okay?
Bye-bye.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay.
You know, I've always tried to be a student of human nature, and I've paid attention down through the many years of me living on this earth, that invariably it takes for something bad to happen before people come together and show their humanity and decency, whereas if nothing bad were to happen, well, we'd go right back to being ornery, mean-spirited, I mean, to the ones that it applies to. I'm not saying everyone. I'm just saying when I say stuff like that, that pertains if the shoe fits, wear it, is what I mean. And I just think that it's disingenuous for any human being that it to me it's kind of being a phony. Either that or it's just human nature that we always wait till the highways fell down in California when they had the earthquakes or when something bad happens. Then all of a sudden we can look the other way and not be the racist or the bigot or the narrow-minded, evil, mean-spirited individual. And just for a moment in life we try to be decent to our fellow man. Have you ever studied that or wondered why people are that way?
I mean, I haven't wondered why people are that way. People are that way.
Why, though?
I don't know. And quite frankly, I'd rather concentrate on trying to make sure that people survive and trying to...
Yeah, but this is call in and talk, isn't it? Do
yeah,
you
I
specify
mean,
when a person calls in and talk that they have to say exactly what you want?
No,
that,
but you
that
asked me...
That takes away from WGNU.
But wait a minute. You asked me a question.
Okay, that's cool.
You asked me, did I ever wonder why? And
okay,
I honestly responded to you and told you.
You were honest about it, but to me, I just think...
But you didn't let me finish answering the question.
That preach their religion, and they preach that they're fair, and they preach that they're this and that and the other, but yet when they get a little authority, they're quite the opposite when they feel as though they can misuse their authority on people, but yet out of the other side of their neck, they'll act like they're so fair and religious. I think that's critical.
Motorcycle man, you asked me a question, yet you didn't allow me to answer.
Okay, go ahead. You got the floor.
You asked me, did I ever wonder why? And I said, no,
okay.
I didn't wonder why. People are people, and they're impacted different ways by different things.
That's true.
But I think your point is well taken, that it takes sometimes the worst of circumstances sometimes to bring out the best in us.
Yeah. Well, it's just like Christmas time, you know. You don't have to wait for Christmas to say hello when you open the car door, or open the door and polite to people and be nice and courteous. It just seems like to me
people
put on a different face when it's Christmas or Easter Sunday. Then they act totally different. And then 2 days later, they write back to finger popping, drinking whiskey and talking nasty. But yet for one day out of their life, whether it's Christmas or Easter, then all of a sudden they put
We're
on a different face.
At the top
type.
Of the hour, brother. We got to go. It's
thank
news
you. Yeah, thank
time.
You.
Thank you. Have a good day. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith, sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. We're going to go to the news, and we'll be back with more conversations in the Morning Wake Up Call. Thank you.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Disaster in Baghdad, where hundreds of people may be dead in a stampede. But first, the fallout from Hurricane Katrina. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco says it's time to look up for help and for strength.
What we need to do is take a moment to pray and to call on our Lord God to help us. We need a higher power right now.
New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin tells ABC News it looks like the city is sinking.
I'm on a 27th floor of a very unair-conditioned building, looking out over the city, and I'm looking uptown, and where there was dry land, there is now several feet of water.
Engineers haven't been able to repair two breaks in the levee that separates New Orleans from Lake Pontchartrain. Mayor Nagin says it could be 3 or 4 months before it's safe for evacuees to return. And that's not just in New Orleans. The block where T.J. Phillips lived in Biloxi, Mississippi, has been obliterated.
It could be, you know, weeks to months before we even have electricity and water.
ABC's Aaron Kuchersky with more from Biloxi.
Cars are lined up all the way down the street at a gas station. Now, there's no gas, but people have parked there just in case it opens to get ahead of what no doubt would be a line that lasts for miles. There is a long line, too, outside the Walmart here. It's still boarded up, but people are hoping, and they also have nowhere else to go.
Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour took a chopper tour of the Mississippi coastline and remarked that's probably what Hiroshima looked like 60 years ago. Now to Baghdad. Iraq's health ministry says more than 600 people were killed in a stampede during a religious procession. It was triggered by rumors a suicide bomber was about to attack. Scores were pushed, some of them jumped to their deaths off a bridge over the Tigris River. This is ABC News.
I was biting into a spare rib when Uncle Ernie dropped his chopsticks. I'd seen that look before. It was heartburn. Before you could say duck sauce, I handed him Pepcid Complete. Only Pepcid Complete works on heartburn in two ways. It starts to neutralize acid on contact and keeps heartburn from coming back all day or all night. In no time, Uncle Ernie was back in Mooshu heaven. Pepcid Complete. Just one and heartburn's done. Use as directed.
Need a mattress?
We got it. Quality Serta mattresses at low Warehouse Club prices. Come to the Sam's Club Serta mattress event Labor Day weekend. There will be demonstrations so you can select just the right Serta mattress. Get these great prices on quality mattresses for your family or resupply your motel or bed and breakfast. It's Serta and it's at Sam's Club this Labor Day weekend. For your convenience, we are also open on Labor Day until 6 p.m. Sam's Club, our business is saving you money.
Bus convoys today will begin moving at least 25,000 hurricane refugees from the Superdome in New Orleans to Houston. Well, thousands of people in New Orleans had to run for higher ground, so where have they gone? ABC's Alex Stone reports from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
For many of the people who had to flee New Orleans, this is their first full day staying in the Centroplex, a concert hall that's been turned into an evacuation center. 11-year-old Ryan had to leave New Orleans. He spent his first night in the Centroplex.
Oh, we got pillows, blankets, food.
The people who are here have been told this may be their home for a while, and the situation south of Baton Rouge is getting worse, so more storm refugees are expected to arrive. Alex Stone, ABC News, Baton Rouge.
One of the remarkable stories about this disaster is in Grand Isle, Louisiana, the barrier islands 45 miles south of New Orleans where Hurricane Katrina came ashore Monday morning. Most of the homes were torn apart, boats are now anchored on roads, but nobody was killed. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, local drivers are seeing the impact of Hurricane Katrina at the gas pump. Jill Williams, the senior vice president of the Commerce Trust Company, says the closure of oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico is forcing the price of fuel upward.
We do know about a million barrels of oil that comes out of that region, you know, has stopped. So that alone is going to start causing a shortfall in oil on a temporary basis until they can get those rigs up and running again.
The price of gas in the St. Louis area has risen to at least $2.80 a gallon at some area stations. Hurricane Katrina has closed 8 oil refineries and knocked out more than 90% of oil production in the Gulf of Mexico. The University of Missouri football team will honor Aaron O'Neill for this season and the seasons to follow. O'Neill died in July of a form of viral meningitis. His name will remain on the Tigers' official team roster in all publications until his eligibility would have expired after the 2008 season. O'Neill's jersey number 25 will not be assigned to anyone until after 2008, and his locker will be kept intact. The team will wear a commemorative sticker on their helmets for this season. A new study says washing your car might be as good as exercise when it comes to reducing your blood pressure. Indiana University Department of Kinesiology Professor Janet Wallace says her and some doctoral students recently conducted a study where they hooked up participants to measuring devices and had them do enough physical activity to burn 150 calories. She says they found that doing things like gardening or basic house cleaning worked as well in reducing blood pressure as special diets and exercise. Finally this hour, blood banks in the New York metropolitan area are coming up with new hooks to attract donors to roll up their sleeves. Faced with less than a one-day supply for its 37 area hospitals, Community Blood Services are making an offer participants may not want to refuse. Anyone who donates blood or platelets today will be awarded a $10 ExxonMobil gas card. Officials say this is a perfect marriage of sorts, with regular donors away on vacation and potential first-timers set to join them for the holiday weekend. Residents willing to make a donation can cash some relief at the pump. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by JCPenney. It's the JCPenney Saturday one-day-only sale. Stores open early at 8 a.m. with incredible doorbusters till 1. Plus, get bonus coupons all day. It's all inside JCPenney. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by National City Bank. Eastbound 70 between 370 and the Blanchette Bridge. Stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 141. Look for an accident that has been cleared, but there may be a brief slowdown. Northbound 270 Graboy, there's an accident that has been cleared as well. Northbound 55 between River De Pere and Lafayette, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from Antire to 270, no problems to report. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into New Florissant. Everything is on the move now. Eastbound 40 at between Spady and Big Bend, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44, traffic is returned back to normal. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 between 14th and the last Missouri exit, there's road construction. Various lanes will be closed throughout the morning. And westbound 40 between Grand and Forest Park Parkway is closed until 11 p.m. due to construction. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by National City Bank. Get free small business checking. Spend less time banking and more time growing your business. See how simple it really is. Call 888-NCB-4BIZ. That's 888-NCB-4BIZ or stop by any National City branch. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies with a high around the upper 80s. For this evening, partly cloudy, 20% chance of showers is expected with a low in the upper 60s. Thursday, partly cloudy skies once again with a high in the mid-80s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in mid-60s. And Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear, sunny skies, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73 as well. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning wake-up call. Liz Brown is on vacation, but we have Irene J. Smith filling in for her. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
If you or someone in your family has slightly elevated blood pressure, are you out of the woods for heart problems? New research says no, and that you're actually at triple the risk of a heart attack compared to people with healthy blood pressure. Last year, experts changed the definition of pre-hypertension and high blood pressure. They now say that pre-hypertension is blood pressure that reads between 120 over 80 to 139 over 89. Anyone with readings over that are considered to have high blood pressure. The researchers say about 47% of all heart attacks could be eliminated if pre-hypertension were eliminated. The American Heart Association estimates that about 59 million Americans are prehypertensive. Those people are advised to exercise on a regular basis, avoid salt, and eat whole grains, fruits, and vegetables more often as a way to bring their blood pressure down. Medication might also be needed. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
Definitely, we need to be saying and doing for our sisters and brothers who have been devastated by Katrina. We need to go to our churches, our synagogues, our mosques. We need to pray, and we need to be doers to see how we can assist sisters and brothers who have been devastated by Katrina. I'm hopeful that that is going to happen. I know that there's going to be a telethon this evening on one of the radio's TV stations. I believe it's KMOX or KMOV. to get resources that will be used to assist the hurricane victims. And those churches that have resources, please bend the ears of the leadership of your church. I know they probably have some sister churches throughout the South, and we need to be touching bases if we can and contacting those individuals and making whatever resources we have to share available to our sisters and brothers who have been devastated by Katrina. Let's see what Earl has to say. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you also. I'm calling you because I want to ask a question, and I'm not sure how to ask it, and I want you to understand I'm only asking because I don't know, and I think there's no harm in asking something and you don't know, and you seem to be a mild person from me listening to the show this morning, not so hard-nosed. So I don't think you would come down on me for asking this question out of not knowing. And it's not ignorance, but I'm wondering sometimes when, you know, our money situation gets tight in the home, is it a thing that families give a thought to of maybe forgoing their health insurance for maybe 6 months or a year, hoping that they can use that little money and nothing happens and they can kind of, you know, get somewhat back on their feet? So that's my question.
So your question is, do you think that, of course families do it. I've done it.
Uh-huh.
You know, when my funds were tight, I made a decision in terms of prioritizing what my household would do without. And there have been times that I have gone without, and my family has gone without health insurance.
Uh-huh.
Family members make decisions depending on their situations. There are, of course, family members that might perhaps have a sick individual or someone that has to have regular treatments.
Uh-huh.
They may make a decision to forego something else. You know,
uh-huh.
I know families that decided that they could not afford to drive because
sure.
they couldn't afford the automobile insurance
sure.
and the health insurance. They had
sure.
a sick individual, so they paid the health insurance,
uh-huh.
and everybody had to start catching the bus after the car insurance
yeah.
ran out, the car was parked. So
okay.
it depends on the family, and certainly that's a decision that families have to make for themselves.
Okay, well, that was my question to you, and I was wondering, was it one of those way out crazy ideas?
No, it's not way out.
I've been discussing with my wife, and
mm-hmm.
I'm saying, well, honey, we're paying all this money, and we're healthy. We're only in our early 40s, and we're healthy.
Yeah.
And can you think if we can make it a year and nothing happened, just hoping nothing happens?
Well,
you know?
I would suggest that you get at least enrolled in one of the federally qualified health centers, you know, where their fees are based upon a sliding scale.
Sure.
But no, that is
yeah.
that's not crazy. You have to make
yeah.
decisions. And I tell you, quite frankly, there have been period of times in my life that I found myself when I was in an employment situation and I no longer had that employment, say like when Clarence Harmon fired me when I was the administrative judge, and we did win that case in federal
okay.
court.
Great.
But I was without health insurance, so what I did was I got some insurance on my daughter because I couldn't afford the Cobra.
Okay.
You know, so
okay.
no, that's you have to sit down and you and your wife or whoever
sure.
make the decision, and you know, you just hope and pray that nothing happens, just
yeah.
as you indicated.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I appreciate you.
You're Bye-bye. Welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Uh-huh.
Good morning.
Yeah, Haley Barber was just quoted as saying that Katrina did to us what we did to Hiroshima, basically. And, you know, now, of course, Japan did attack us, but we attacked Iraq. And I guess another woman said that she compared the looting in New Orleans to Baghdad after we quote unquote liberated it.
Hmm.
So maybe I don't know, you know, maybe out of karma, or you know, maybe Katrina was just trying to target those people that voted for Bush or Nader or didn't vote, and if she missed and killed the wrong people, then that would be collateral damage. And I don't know. I guess.
I don't think any of us know. And I mean, I note, and maybe I'm wrong. If I am, just tell me. I note a note of sarcasm in your comments, and if I'm wrong, just please put me in my place. But I certainly understand your point. A lot of people feel that way. And we don't know. I mean, we cannot lean on our own understanding in this situation. And, of course, all of us can speculate and analyze it down as much as we can. But in the final analysis, we have people who are in various states throughout the South that have been devastated by Katrina. So I think the question is, what do we do? How do we step forth as, you know, the patriots that we are? What do we do when we have Americans who are in need? And I think that's the question of the hour. How are we going to assist those who have been devastated?
Well, you know, it's okay. You know, it's good to help them and to send food and do all that. That's a Christian thing to do. But it's also a Christian thing to repent for what we've done. And, you know, for example, what we've done, we killed 100,000 people, civilians in Iraq.
I think you're right about that. The point is very, very well taken. But there are many people who have been devastated.
There's going to be more.
And you're probably absolutely right about that. And, certainly God is showing his hand. You know, you won't get any fight with me about that. But the fact of the matter is there are individuals who have been devastated by Katrina, who do not support the policies of the Bush administration.
They're
individuals
damage.
Who did not. If you choose to look at it that way, I certainly understand
government looks at it. In Iraq, we killed a bunch of people, and we were trying to do supposedly a good thing, and we were targeting certain people, and we killed others, and we say, well, it's collateral damage.
Your point is well taken.
Complaints to the coalition authority, and we'll see what we can do for you. So I understand,
but then that still gets us back to the question. What are we as patriots? We're Americans. We are proud to be Americans. What are we going to do to help the people who have been devastated?
Well,
that's the question.
We can help our fellow human beings in Iraq and Palestine. And if we keep killing them,
I agree with you. Very.
And justice will be served. I mean, the Son of Man came in the clouds of Katrina.
You know what? I understand your point, and you're certainly making it. And people will be impacted, and certainly you do have to repent, and you pay for the wrong that you do.
If you're America, the mightiest technological superior country in the world, you're going to pay. There's going to be justice somewhere down the road.
I certainly understand. You're absolutely right. But as I said, in the meantime, I do want us to stay focused on and to think about and to do about the things that we can do to assist those individuals who have been devastated. And
okay.
Your point. Thank you very much for your comments. Good morning. Good morning. You're listening. We're going to perhaps put you on hold and move on. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want to compliment your show this morning because, I flip around the dials every once in a while. I listen to other stations. And it seems like all the other stations are focusing on the looters.
Hmm.
You know, and, you know, it's amazing how many people out there will say, well, shoot the looters. I mean,
it's crazy.
What are they looting? A TV set?
A TV set that is not going to be of any use to them?
You know, as a matter of fact, that TV, if it's been sitting in water, it's no good anymore anyway. And businesses buy insurance to cover losses. So anything these people are looting out of stores is going to be covered by loss anyway, isn't it?
Mm.
It's
going to be covered, you know. And it's like, what are police? We think about the origin of police forces. And it was originally created to protect business interests. Let's be serious. That's why it was created. So they need a storyline. The media needs a storyline. So that's part of the story, and I wish they wouldn't focus on it, but they do, as they always do. You know, looting always comes up. You know, like I said, I was kind of flipping around, you know, surfing the television, and I saw a lot of the looters that I saw. Yeah, I saw some people with some television sets. To me, I was like, stupid, you better be trying to save yourself.
Yeah, they can't eat that television.
Right, they can't eat it. But, you know, I saw people looting you know, Pampers. I can remember the lady with the Pampers, someone with some water, someone with some food, okay? And this is not right to steal, you know, and I'm not condoning it, but there are circumstances under which, you know, it is survived, justification. And I think in the situation that is going on, I think certainly the justification defense could be evoked in this situation. And I wish they would focus more on the fact that we didn't have an evacuation plan in place. What are we going to put in place? How can we mobilize? How can we as patriots come together to aid and assist our sisters and brothers in the states that have been devastated.
Well, you know, you also have to blame the media a little bit. You know how they suit this weather patterns up. You know, 2 days before a storm hits, they're really going to make it sound like a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And what you got is a little blow by.
But those are just predictions.
Like
they're just But they're just predictions. That's all they are. And we have to remember that because, you know, it depends upon how the wind blows, whether or not we get rain. And all they can do is make predictions, because I know who controls the weather, and it is not the weather forecasters, it is the supreme being. So all they are doing is making projections. You know, it's just like the brother who was called in yesterday, who was stationed on the naval base, he got out on Saturday. A lot of people got out on Saturday. Some people didn't, because they, you know, they made a decision, because they said, you know, we've been through this before, we've gone through worse, and they made a decision to stay in their homes. And quite frankly, the issue is, how could they get out? Some people didn't even have transportation. And obviously the government was not providing buses, and they weren't using the state militia to assist. So, you know.
Well, you know, it's just a total disaster what's happened down there. And,
it is.
You know, all of our hearts go out to them. And I myself, I'm trying to think of a way maybe I can.
Right.
A little bit, but,
right.
You know,
and I appreciate that. The boards are fully lit up, so let me take some other callers. I appreciate your call, and think on it. I know you're going to come up with something good to assist the people down there. Car phone.
Yeah, is that me?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I heard someone talking about the looters of WorldCom and Enron and the federal government, the billions of dollars that's been looted by the various powers that be. I didn't see that on the media, though, that much.
Just, you saw it, you know, when they were bringing out a couple of people in handcuffs, you know, some of the little fish in handcuffs.
How many billion did WorldCom, did they loot that in WorldCom? Not to mention Enron and the federal government and the other large institutions that have done the same thing. How many people have they paraded out and constantly shown those images to the public about?
I don't. In total honesty, not a lot. But like I said, I'm not an avid TV viewer, so I can't tell you. But I would think, as you are suggesting, that it has not been shown to the degree that they are showing the looters. But, you know, that's an aspect of the story that they choose to show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Smith. You know, I was like to make a comment on the man speaking of the looters. You know, that was stupid of the people to go in and get a television or something of that nature. But I wonder how many people out in the audience would be down in New Orleans, past a grocery store with bottles of water floating and not going in and get themselves some water in a store or get themselves some food. I doubt if anybody, it's human nature to survive when you have to. And if stealing is looting would be called that, I would be one would go in a store and get me something for my family to eat.
And you would be, and I believe that you would be justified in so doing.
Okay, you have a good day.
You too, dear. Have a good one. Good morning.
Oh, you know, how you doing this morning, Ms. Smith?
I'm fine, dear. How are you?
Good. Under the circumstances, I imagine I'm doing pretty good. I'm still bleeding for those people in that part of the world, and it's just a tragedy. But you know, the other day when I was listening to the program, and one of the reporters said something about looting. And I knew that was going to be one of the headline stories before this thing ended. And it's not over yet, you know. But you know what? The real looting is going to take place when these people start filling out these forms about what they lost.
The claims.
Yeah, the claims. And you know, and I'd be willing to bet anybody in this planet that the black people in that neighborhood, our people, are going to be the last in line. They're not going to have the proper papers together because they probably got, you know, flooded out. You could only bring limited amount your personal with you when you went to the Superdome or wherever you went. So when you stand in line with FEMA, or when you get in line with your insurance company, you better have your papers in order.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And if you don't have them, you know, you might as well go to the end of the line. You're going to be like the people from the last hurricane last year. They're still standing in line waiting to get some assistance from this government.
Mm.
But, you know, the real tragedy is that, you know, these people have been knowing that New Orleans set below sea level for years, you know, but they haven't did anything significant. They knew the storm was coming.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, there are certain devastations. I don't care what you do.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
It's not
going to
make a difference. I mean, because
it could have been minimized with the technology we have today. I was watching the Netherlands when they built their wall, their sea wall, to keep out the North Sea. And they did a magnificent job. I don't know if it's going to hold or not, but
yeah,
at least they made an effort.
I mean, there were some efforts being made in New Orleans, and I mean, we're concentrating a lot on New Orleans, mainly because I guess the media is. But, you know, the devastation has also hit Mississippi. I mean, in fact, the eye wall of the storm hit Mississippi, and that has had the highest death toll thus far. Of course, we don't know until, you know, all of the water subsides as to the amount of deaths, and even whether or not, you know, with all the water, whether deaths from one state have drifted to another state. So it's a bad situation. And I know we as humans have a tendency to think that we somehow can prevent, we somehow can create a wall, we somehow can create a bridge that can withstand, you know, certain winds. Sometimes, you know, the devastation is going to come.
But do you know what I heard last night on the radio? You wouldn't believe this. Russians did this.
Yeah. Well,
people
are going to speculate and
manipulating the weather for years.
People are going to
been able to guide a number 5 category hurricane into New Orleans.
Well, let me say this. I talked to someone who I think is very astute and very alert, and she raised the question of whether or not George Bush had something to do with it. So, I mean, and, you know, the point is people are going to speculate. People are going to have their conspiracy theories, and they may or may not be correct. We will never know. But what we do know is that our sisters and brothers down there have been devastated, and if we have some resources, we ought to be trying to figure out a way that we can aid and assist them.
Well, we're in touch with our family. They're in Baton Rouge, and they, you know, they seem to be doing pretty good so far.
Yeah, and
you know, there's not going to be any mail delivery tomorrow. There's not going to be any checks passed out.
Right.
You know, these people don't. You know, when you going to get your mail? Where
you
going? You know, how you going to pay your bills?
But
you know,
brother,
all these things, we.
Brother, we're at the bottom of the hour. Thank you for your comments and your question raising, the inquiries that you raised. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
A heart is healed, a dream is found, a tear is dried, and laughter is heard. And somewhere, someone, life will be changed.
You're considering the gospel voice of choice every weekend online at WGNU.net.
It takes a village to raise a child. That African proverb has special meaning to Hope for the Nations. In locations in 20 countries worldwide, Hope for the Nations combines education, micro-enterprise, agriculture, healthcare, and housing under one roof. These villages bring together the young and the old, the healthy and the sick, singles, families, and the widowed, the weak and the strong. United to build buildings, build families, build resources, build community. It takes you and your support to help Hope for the Nations raise these villages. For more information, go online, visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Why is it no matter where you turn the dial, you hear the same voices moving from station to station and the continual format flip-flops? Well, here at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, you get to help change all that. You can add your voice to the mix. And we've had much the same format for over 20 years. You can join the discussion by calling 314-454-0400 or 1-877-920-WGNU. Come to think of it, most of those other cookie-cutter stations are owned by large out-of-town conglomerates. We're not. We're locally owned and operated.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Who really cares? Save a world in despair? Who really cares? There'll come a time,
there'll come a time
when the world won't be singing,
when the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No, bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
Let's just try to come up with something to aid and assist our sisters and brothers who have been devastated by Katrina. And I know that people like to look at situations, and you're certainly free to do so, to say this is payback, and it may well be. But the fact of the matter is there are people who are suffering in our southern states who have been devastated by Katrina, and just imagine what it would be like to have to let go of your wife's hand to try to save your children and your grandchildren, as the brother did in Mississippi. And think about the impact, the psychological impact of not knowing where you were going to go, what you're going to do, where you're going to lay your head, what you were going to eat, how you're going to put a dry diaper on your child. And we can sit back and we can speculate and we can talk about they should have did this, they should have got out, they should have had Pampers, they should have had milk, they shouldn't be stealing. But when we get through, there are people who are suffering throughout the South as a result of Katrina. And as for me, I really want to concentrate my thinking on a solution to help them through their suffering. Let's talk to the Korean veteran. Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Irene Smith, J. Smith.
It's Miss.
Yes, this is the Korean veteran. I just wanted to call you and tell you you're doing a beautiful job. And that Marvin Gaye was beautiful. I just would like to say, as being a veteran and have been in other foreign countries and seen the suffering, and all night long I listened to these commentators on TV and radio about saying, shoot the people, shoot. I tell you one thing. America needs to get its house in order, because I've seen the suffering all over the world, places where I've been. And you take out Christians or anybody else, when you they put you in a certain dire position where it might be life or death, you'll be surprised what each one of us can do and what we will do. And I just, it's hard. I mean, you just can't sit back and watch those people and say, shoot them. They put you and I down there. I tell you, we will all fight and struggle to survive.
Thank you. And it's amazing that people could say, shoot somebody that's stealing some Pampers.
Well, it's not worth shooting them for anything.
That's
you
crazy.
Would have that, those things happening. This is a terrible situation down there. And one day America's going to wake up. People, we got some good people, but there are too many smug people. When I hear people say, drop the bomb over there on those people in Iraq and make a parking lot out of it. America better change its ways. You have a blessed day.
Point well taken. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Brother on the car phone, cell phone, William, talk to us.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. You hit the subject right on the head. First of all, I would say this. A person stealing a television or some jewelry, yeah, if they happen to find a bullet, hey, that's good for them. But a person taking some clothes, food, things to they need to survive, hey, leave those people alone. Let them survive.
Right. I wasn't suggesting that the bullet was for any of them. I just happened to mention those individuals who were stealing items that would be of a survival nature. I don't think that is justified to shoot anybody. Because
I think a person who is looting for personal gain, i.e. a television, jewelry, gold or whatever, and you need food in your mouth and your baby needs some dry diapers on, if whatever happens to him, happens to him. Hmm. But that's not what I call for. I called because of this. Do you remember the Michael Moore film, 9/11?
Yes.
9/11.
Mm-hmm.
The president, when the country was hit, he was in the classroom, and he was told that the planes had hit the World Trade Center.
Exactly.
And he sat there with a dumb look on his face.
Mm-hmm. I recall.
Okay. Now, there was warning that this hurricane was heading towards the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit three states, major cities in the South. And where is he? He's in a classroom somewhere with a dumb look on his face. And now the oil fields and the oil platforms out in the Gulf of Mexico have been torn up. And he could release the strategic oil reserves. But where is he? He's sitting somewhere with a dumb look on his face. What has this man done to deserve not being in peace? I'll put it that way. What has he done, even in this situation, that deserves him not being impeached? And I'll listen to your response.
He hasn't done anything. He's headed back to the White House to head up the task force to deal with the devastation.
A task force? He could release the oil and the oil reserves today.
Yes, he could.
He could have dispatched the troops to go down and assist those people the next day.
Yeah. The thing of it is, we
have reserves still in this.
They said we have reserves. In fact, they've listed the percentages in the states that have been hit, and it appears that there are high percentages. The fact of the matter is, the question is, in anticipation of what was to come, it doesn't look like they were ready. Any of the states were ready in terms of evacuation plans or anything of that nature. And while we're spending billions plus in Iraq, we don't even have evacuation plans in place for our own people in this country. And, brother, I'm going to move on because the boards are kind of filled up, okay?
Oh, okay, you have a blessed day.
Okay, thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, sis?
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fine. You know, I think you're 100% right. I think instead of people continuously focusing in on the negative and raising their interest for the positive, you know, conversation to me become to be fruitless, because I'm hearing a lot of folks talking about everything but making a commitment first to do something and then talking all that other later. But I think you're 100% right. What are we going to do? What is our commitment to help? And I think Otis struck up a great conversation this morning when he raised that question. But now back to your yesterday's program, I'd like to commend you in how you related to the good brother that called in, that's one of the commissioners of the TIF program, because it's been the bone of contention of a lot of us that when the, and I would like to ask you a question before I leave, when the victims, I say, those who own property that find themselves faced with the issue of eminent domain, when they find out, and we find out yesterday that it is true, 99 times out of 10, the deal has been made, and the only thing that they have done is put in as the final part of the puzzle for the takeover.
Mm-hmm.
But now, let me ask you this. Is there a provision in the law that says that before, and I guess the way I need to ask this is there an ethics position that an elected official, say an alderman, if you're going to do something in your ward, would it, is there a clause or ethics that would say that before I bring in outsiders, I would first make sure that those, and I find that that's something that happened in the 18th ward, that me and Pam went to a meeting several months ago.
Brother, you got to get to your point because we're going to be near.
The point
right.
is, why don't the elected officials come to the stakeholders first before they go to the outside, the developers first, and then bring the stakeholders in at the last minute? How did that happen like that?
I think quite often, brother, as I was talking about yesterday, quite often these discussions come up in ward meetings, and sometimes people don't, for whatever reason, attend those meetings. And therefore, you miss out on the information. Now, the question then becomes, should there be a greater effort made by the alderman or to get information out? And then the issue becomes, in how do they get out that information when there are limited resources to do so? So I think certainly the elected officials have a responsibility to bring it to the constituents who have been there, and to make them aware of, and to make a great effort in getting that information to them and getting input from them. Some wards have done that. Others, you know, I'm not in a position to say whether or not they have done it, but certainly that should be done. And from my standpoint, ethically wise, that certainly should happen. The law only dictates that there be some written notification and some posting of notices. So that's something that perhaps could be added to the law. But, brother, I'm going to have to let you go. Nearing a break time. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Stay tuned. We'll be back with you after the break.
Children today.
Are they going to suffer tomorrow?
Really suffer tomorrow?
Hello, this is Minister Sammy Estelle Jr. Join me on the Singing Time broadcast, the first, third, and fifth Saturdays of the month at 5:30, and the second and fourth Saturdays at 6, for the Singing Time broadcast, featuring good gospel music, the latest church news, and also the Word of God. That's Singing Time with Minister Sammy Estelle Jr. right here on WGNU.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
Is this going to be another boring weekend at your house? Make like a pirate and escape to Kids Expo 2005, Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. It's high adventure in the Caribbean as you discover a bounty of family-oriented products and services. And your kids become the first to see and try out the new Yo Stick from Playmate Toys. Something to see, something to do, something for everyone to enjoy. Be sure to visit the SBC Treasure Cove in Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes, including the Captain's Treasure Chest. So steal away to paradise at Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th, in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by the crew at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Don, ace black helicopter pilot, your certified conspiracy hunter and all-around decent person. If you want to hear 3 hours of rock'em sock'em beat up on the New World Order crowd, tune in here at WGNU 920 AM every Wednesday, 10 o'clock in the morning. We do a no razzmatazz, brass knuckles war on the New World Order crowd. Their house of cards is about to come crashing down, my friends. Come listen to the thunderous crash as we pull the linchpin from the fragile ivory towers of the neocons and insiders in Camp Run Amok every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. with Decent Guy Don at WGNU 920 a.m. Radio Free St. Louis. Stay tuned.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
A moment's notice, John Coltrane. A moment's notice. Let me get a lady in here. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi, Irene. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm calling in response to your call for what action, what can we do? I would think that people could call the American Red Cross.
Exactly.
And I'm sure they've got a food and clothing drive and people could...
Actually, what they're asking for, they're really asking people to send money. They're not really at this point asking for food and clothing, I guess, logistically. For that reason, at least yesterday when I saw it on television, they were asking at this point for donations, monetary donations.
Yeah, I know Channel 4 is going to have a segment on this evening.
At 6:30.
Uh-huh. But I would think those items would be needed as well.
Yeah, they are going to be needed, but logistically at this particular point in time, that's what they're saying. I'm just saying. But I think people should give whatever they can give.
Uh-huh.
And if that's what you can give, I think you should do so. Any further comments? I'm going to try to clear the boards, which are full at
this
time.
No, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Good morning, Henderson. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Sister Irene, how you doing?
I'm good. This sounds like Laverne Henderson.
Yes, it is.
Who I tried to reach yesterday.
True that. But, you know, I was listening to the callers that's been calling in. And, you know, they talking about the looting and what should be done about the looting and the prisoners. And, you know, they got the prisoners they had to take them out of the jail because it...
The jail is flooding.
And got covered in water. And it's like, you look at it and you say, if the levee break, what is the evacuation plan for the peoples who need to survive?
Right.
As far as taking polices to try to round up or, say, someone looting or stealing, it's like, what about the peoples who are in their homes and no one getting there to help them out there, and they drowning, and how many people drowning? How many people had got washed back into the ocean that they haven't, that when the water pulled back into the ocean? You know, it's like they worrying about a TV, and it's like you got 30,000 people that if that levee break over on a Mississippi side, that's going to drown everybody out.
I mean, that's what I would like them to push forward on. You know, what is the government going to do? How many, what you're going to get in there? How many helicopters, rescue copters can you get in there to move people out? And I would like to see more emphasis on that. Brother, I have a full board, so
but
I'm going
to. This is one thing I want to talk about.
Okay, make your point.
The last thing is that why don't they bring some of the barges up with rock, dump them in front of them levees before they won't give anymore?
Okay.
Why don't they bring some of them boats up, them ships that got pumps on them, and set them on the side where they can start pumping some of the water out since all the pumps are down? You know, why are they coming up with ideas to help than hinder? You know, you're worrying about somebody looting, and you ain't bringing no solution to anything.
Yeah.
Oh, they're taking the TV. Everything going to be washed out if they don't do anything to save that town, and I don't see much action being taken to save it. You know,
right.
I mean, they got ships that can that got pumps on them that they could drop them holes in there and start pumping that water out of there to keep at least maintained where it won't wash the whole town out.
Okay, my brother. That's a very, I mean, very good point. I guess the question I have, and you think about it, and we'll talk about it when I talk to you real soon, is after they pump the water, where will it go? But I'm going to move on to the next caller, okay?
Okay.
Good morning, brother. I tried to get you before,
well,
but
you... I was talking, but we couldn't get a connection.
Okay.
I heard you.
Okay.
You hear me?
Okay.
Now, I'm going to comment. I like Brother Malik, what he talked about, every word of it. Because, like I said, you know, I'm the devil's advocate.
Okay,
and
go
like
right
that.
Ahead.
Yeah, I'm 58, and everything about downtown I know. And I got out here really early, knowing my way around the block with big people. Rudy Dyer, all Bell, and all them dudes. Benjamin Goins. I hung around them guys when I was 21 years old. I've always liked older people to be around. That's why I had to jump on a lot of people in the city. All these ministers and stuff, dead and gone. Bridewell down there, we raised up together. Calvary Baptist.
Okay, brother, you name it off the people that you know.
Now,
can
now,
you tell
so,
us something?
Now that I'm saying this, this is as bad a city, and like I said, I'm just tired. I'm just fed up to St. Louis, and that's why I can't come back to the city.
All right, but you come back every day to hang out with the boys on the block. Don't
every
tell
day.
Me you every day.
That's my thing.
So don't tell me you don't tell me you're tired of the city because you.
I'm tired of the politics.
I understand.
In the city.
I understand.
I'd rather come back today to get the right housing, townhomes and stuff. I done had two homes.
I understand.
I want to move back to Bussier. They ain't worried about it because that's my roots.
I understand.
And I love North Carolina every day.
I know you are.
I'm getting ready to get him and go down there now.
I know it. I know it.
I'm going to get down there now.
All right. You have a good
all
day.
Right. And we have our tailgate parties on Sundays.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Miss Martha.
Good morning. How are you? How are you? Reverend Fowler, you know what? You were talking about the aldermen. Then they post these things on the post to come down because they're going to do certain things in the neighborhood, and you tell us to go to these meetings, but sometimes, like our previous former alderman years ago, Steve Roberts, used to call us and tell us there's a business. They want to come in. What do you all think about it? And we would have that connection. But most of the time, some of them are very selfish, and they don't want us to know, and you just have to find out these things yourself.
I'm going to say this, having been an alderwoman, it is an awesome task trying to continue to get information out to our community, considering the limited resources. And certainly I think Fong Tring is good, and I certainly appreciate the efforts that you make whenever there is a meeting. And I can tell you sometimes repetitively you put out flyers, you knock on doors, and sometimes people don't come out. And then the first thing that they will say is, you didn't tell us anything about it. And then you remind them that there was a meeting that they said they weren't going to be able to come to. And I understand people have other responsibilities. But don't just put it on the backs of the elected officials. We have individual responsibilities to make sure that we know what is going on in our community as well. And just like you go to every meeting that impacts from the police community affairs, others should do so as well. So it's not just the elected officials' responsibility. We have some individual responsibility to keep ourselves abreast of what is going on.
That is true, because right now I'm looking at,
we hear you walking.
Move these cars. This is the day we get our streets clean.
Okay, well, I'm going to move on to the next caller,
Take
which
care.
Will be the last caller. Thank you for your call. Good morning.
Right. Everybody is getting sent to Houston. All the refugees from the Superdome are going to the Astrodome, which hasn't been used in years since they built the new sports complex in Houston. And our 10 look like the refugees from Rwanda. They all walking towards Houston where they opening up shelters in Houston.
So the question is, where is the U.S. government in terms of sending buses, in terms of sending transportation to transport individuals from Louisiana, from Mississippi, from Alabama to Houston, if that is where they are headed? Are they showing any support from the government about transporting these people?
I've seen some buses, but most of the people look like they're, like, walking.
Okay.
And the mayor of New Orleans was on the phone. He was really frustrated because he's saying that there is not a collaborative effort
right.
to, number one, get the levees broke, that are broke fixed. So he was really, for almost to the point of cursing, that he was really frustrated.
Right.
And that was on an interview last night.
All right.
So they all heading to Houston. Hopefully our extended family down there can get out and get
okay.
over to Houston.
Okay.
Peace.
All right. Thank you for that update. We got 1 minute. Mac, you'll have the final call. Mac, you get the final... I guess Mac said, okay. Mac, you have the final...
Not to worry. Bush is coming back from vacation today. He'll take care of it all, won't he?
I doubt that. I doubt that.
Well, I doubt it, too. Well, I wish everybody the best.
Okay. Thank you, Mac.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Good day to you, ma'am.
This has been the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This has been Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Oh, my... Stay tuned for Don, Conspiracy Hunter. See you tomorrow.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Better fill your gas tank ASAP. Gas prices will rise dramatically in a few days because of Hurricane Katrina.
In the northern tier, we're going to see prices rise 65 cents a gallon from Friday's levels, potentially by this weekend. In the south, we can see prices rise by as much as $1.10 by this weekend, again from Friday's levels.
Oil